call us at 1-800-TAX-1040. That's 1-800-TAX-1040. Or ask your tax preparer. So if you'd rather know if you qualify for the EITC, consider it done.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns. Number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, Guy James Show listeners. We're awfully glad to have you with us here. Coming to you from the Blue Waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. And let me tell you, it was a spectacular day here in the Southwest Florida region. Not a cloud in the sky, about 75, 76 degrees. God never made a more beautiful day on this earth than this day today. I hope it's nice where you are as well. And if it's not nice outside, I hope you're having a good time inside or driving the car or whatever you're doing tonight. We're awfully glad to have you along with us. We're going to make this an interesting show tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. And I hope you have a lot to talk about. And if you do, call us at 1-888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. You got that? 888-602-7500, 01, 02, 03, and 04. Locally, 479-5540. And in Collier County, down there where all the well-heeled folks live, and I do mean well-heeled, 263-6570. You wouldn't believe some of the houses down there in, what do they call it, Port Royal in Naples. Really, you wouldn't. I got to tell you, I keep saying that. I'll have to send you all pictures sometime. We'll put pictures on the website just so you'll know what I'm talking about. It's been an interesting week. It's been a very disturbing week, a very, very disturbing week. Of course, we've had the more carnage in Iraq, of course. And we've had Mr. Bush out on the road spreading his propaganda about this failed Social Security problem that he's trying to promote. And, as you know, well, we had that tragedy in Atlanta yesterday. Seems like the whole world is going nuts. Certainly Washington is going nuts, in my opinion. And I'm afraid some of our Democrats have going nuts along with us, too. You know, as you know, we had that bankruptcy bill this week, and so my Democratic friends, it appears that our party has a lot more problems than we thought. We're facing a steep uphill battle, and the bankruptcy bill voted this past week is all the evidence you need to know that what I'm saying is absolutely true. I've been involved in Democratic politics for a long time, and I've never seen a worse betrayal of one of the core principles of the Democratic Party than this vote. We've been the party of the people, and I've always been extremely proud to know that my party protected and defended the working man against big business and anyone else who tried to force injustice upon the working men and women who through their own blood, sweat, and tears built this country from the ground up. It wasn't the Rockefellers. It wasn't the Carnegies that physically built this country. It was our people. And I don't know how many of you have read this complete bill, but it's a travesty against those who need relief from the burden of overwhelming debt. Oh, yeah, you're going to hear the right-wingers, and you're going to hear, the rich folks, and you're going to hear the media, and you're going to hear from the credit card companies about how they got stuck by people who went wild and ran up huge debts on their credit cards and then filed bankruptcy just for fun, just to beat them out of some money. Do keep in mind that as often happens in Washington, D.C., the lobbyist, the credit card lobbyists wrote this bill themselves and then handed it to the senators, who, of course, will dance to the credit card company's tune because of the huge money they get from them to get reelected. Payoffs is what I should say. You know, the old pat my back and I'll pat yours thing that is rampant in Washington. We'd expect that kind of behavior from the corporate-friendly Republicans, but what Democrat would have believed that 19 of their own senators would have gone over to the other side and voted for a bill that is so terribly harmful to the middle and lower classes? I know I wouldn't have. This blindsided me. You know, they didn't change the corporate bankruptcy laws. Oh, no. They still allow the rich to establish trust that keep them from losing their property in a bankruptcy. So who gets left holding the bag? You guessed it, baby. You guessed it. You know, never mind that the majority of the bankruptcies are caused by outrageous medical bills and family catastrophes, loss of jobs and divorce and so forth. Notice there's a credit card company that netted over $30 billion last year is being hurt so bad that they had to write this bill and have their paid puppets, both Republican and what makes me sick, and Democrats, pass it for them. You know, and if you don't like all this about the bankruptcy bill, try this one. You may have read of the hardship on families of those who've been called to fight in Iraq, including, of course, severe financial stress leading to many bankruptcies by military people. Democrats in the Senate tried to put on an amendment on this bill, exempting military personnel, and the Republicans voted down. That, to me, was the last straw. We've got Mr. Bush going to military bases and landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln, and every chance he gets, appearing with his little military jacket on, little G.I. Joe Bush. Every time he gets near the military, he's got photo ops all over the place. I love our military. I love our military. Do your duty, boys. We're doing everything we can for you. And then he stabs him in the back. Stabs him in the back. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. If you thought, oh, it's so frustrating to me. You know, I thought these people were outrageous before. I really did. But this deal with the military sealed the deal for me. That is just plain damned evil. It is. To appear with these people and take advantage of them and send them over there to die and then suffer financial hardships, families broken up, all the problems that they have. God knows how many problems they have. Families back home can't sleep at night for wondering if their loved one is over there still dead or alive. People being blown to bits. And this president denies them a chance to file bankruptcy when they really need it, when they come home and they've suffered. Who they suffered for? They suffered for everybody. They especially suffered in this war for George Bush. We didn't send him over there. Bush sent him over there. He sent him over there for no reason. And they want a little financial relief, and what does he do? It makes me sick that this man is the president of the United States. Pardon me for being upset, but this one was the last straw. But that's how it works. Feel sorry for the credit card companies? You know, outside of loan sharking, is there a more predatory business than theirs? How many bankruptcies were there back before there weren't many credit cards, huh? In many cases, it's legal loan sharking is exactly what it is. They send out hundreds of millions of solicitations to suck people in. And many cases, they know they're giving them to people who shouldn't have them for one reason or another. After the almighty last buck, after the last penny, they prey upon college students. Many of them haven't learned how to handle money, and they end up owing thousands of dollars to credit card companies, who in turn go after the parents for the debt. They charge enormous late and overage fees. Some of them intentionally put due dates on Sundays to make the people late because the mail doesn't run on Sunday. They get down to the fine points of being nasty. In short, if there ever was a business that didn't deserve nor need help from Congress, it's the credit card companies. But my main point here is How will our party regain its glory when we elect people to Congress as Democrats and they vote like Republicans? I think the 19 Democratic senators who voted in favor of this bill betrayed the trust given them by their constituents. I know we shouldn't be one-issue voters, but this vote by 19 Democrats is so egregious that I can no longer support a single one of them, especially Joe Biden in Delaware. Does his vote stink or what? You've heard of MBNA, I'm sure. You know, they're located in Joe's backyard there in Delaware. Now you say, oh, well, he's taking care of his constituents in Delaware because thousands of them work for MBNA. Hey, Joe, you got to think of America, too. You got to think of America. And, Joe, you were thinking of yourself. You were thinking of that campaign money. You were thinking how MBNA would go after you with campaign money if you didn't dance to their tune. And you did, didn't you, Joe? Along with Max Baucus from Montana, Evan Bayh from Indiana, Bingaman from New Mexico, and one I'm so disappointed in. I'm so disappointed, Robert Byrd from West Virginia, Carper from Delaware, Kent Conrad from North Dakota, Daniel Inouye from Hawaii, Johnson from South Dakota, Cole from Wisconsin, Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, Lincoln from Arkansas, of course, Bill Nelson from Florida. Whatever Bush wants him to do, he'll do. And then Nelson of Nebraska, we got Pryor of Arkansas, and oh my God, the Senate leader for the Democrats went along with this bill, Harry Reid of Nevada, Salazar of Colorado, and one I know personally, Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. Shame on all of you for voting for this. Shame, shame, shame on all of you. You don't deserve to be a United States Senator. These 19 looked us in the eye and they said they were for us. And then they turned around and stabbed the average American right in the back. They've got no conscience. Shame on all of you for voting against the best interests of the American people. All for the sake of these credit card companies. $30 billion in net profit last year wasn't enough, was it? If you're going to claim that you are a Democrat, you vote like a Democrat. If you claim to be a member of the party of the people, then work for the people. I don't think I've ever been more upset with people in our party than I am right now. How the hell can we expect to get America back on track when our own people are working against us? Personally, I think it's payback time for those who betray the trust of the American people. And it doesn't matter to me if they are Republicans or Democrats. I will not support any of those people for re-election. If you want to tell me I'm wrong on that, you call me. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. A lot of people are of a mind that, yes, they did this for the constituents in their states. After all, they are state, they are U.S. senators representing their state. I understand that. I understand that. But do you vote for something that will benefit your state and hurt all the common people of America? Do you? I say certainly not. Absolutely not. It's been a rough week, I think. It's been a rough week. I don't like what's happened, not one bit. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got Eric on the line of Sanibel. Hi, Eric. Is Eric with us? Here we go. Yes, Eric.
Hi, Guy?
Yeah.
Hi, good evening. I'm a registered Republican, and I agree with you on that bankruptcy bill, and that was just a fantastic monologue, and I really respect you for taking that stand against those senators, and I think you're right. I think that it just goes to show you sometimes it just doesn't matter if you vote Republican or Democrat. These big, giant companies, whether they're drug companies or these credit card companies, that just can give you some kind of an apathy that just, you know, we're up against a lot.
Yeah, you're right, Eric. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. This is going to affect people on both sides. It's more of moving right into the hands of the corporate masters. And you know, I'm not one of these that hates the corporate world. I certainly don't. I know we got to have the corporate world for jobs and income and everything in this country. But I don't want a handful of corporations end up owning the world. And God knows these credit card companies are sure working on it.
Well, that was a great monologue, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Eric.
And you said I'm a Republican. That was great.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Bye.
Yeah, I know a lot of Republicans. You know, what are these people going to do? You know, all these evangelical Christians that went out and put on this big crusade to get Bush elected, are they all so well-heeled that none of them are going to have to file bankruptcy? Are they all in that good a shape? And if they do file bankruptcy, are they going to be saying, praise the Lord, that godly Mr. Bush, we still love him, even though we're sitting out in the street with nothing? I wonder. I really do wonder. This really, I don't know how you feel, and I do hope all of you call in about it tonight. But this is one of the most disgusting things I think has ever happened in the United States Senate. Oh, I'm not forgetting the Iraq War vote. That is the issue of the day. And many stories are taking that off the front page right now. Many things come up. But I just can't believe that our own Democrats, 19 of them, did this to us. Even Joe Lieberman voted against it. That's probably after he knew it was going to pass. He probably was real courageous in that manner. He probably waited until saw how it was going to go. And, hey, I voted against it, guys. I'm a good Democrat. You're not a good Democrat, Joe. And I don't know. Let's go to Juanita up in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hi. I'm with you. Hello?
Yes.
Some reason the sound goes down. I'm with you on that. I'm telling you, you took all the words out of my mouth and more. And I'm wondering, you know, what was the guy that got attorney general?
Oh, Gonzalez.
Yeah. Well, before the vote had gone in, I wrote an email to our senator, Bill Nelson, and I'm very, very disappointed in him. And I didn't hear anything, then I found out that he had voted for him, and I got an email back about a week after the vote. And saying that, you know, that he didn't have any reason, you know, that the president needed his people in, blah, blah, I don't know. So I just didn't vote. I didn't even do anything about the bankruptcy, but I'm so disappointed. It seems like they're trying to destroy us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Juanita, the day is coming, and this might have been the first step toward it. You know, there used to be debtor prisons.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
People used to have more or less indentured servitude to people they owed money to. We're heading back to it.
Yeah.
We are. And it's very obvious that these United States senators don't really care if that's what happens.
Obviously not. I mean, it's just very disappointing. It really is. I mean, that's a lot of yes votes.
You know, you've got, you're a guy, you're 30 years old, you got a wife, two or three kids, trying to make it in this life, and God knows it's tough to get a good job nowadays and make enough money to keep going. You're out working your tail off, and you get you don't have any health insurance, and you know if a kid, one of your kids gets real sick and goes in for you, and you know, I mean, I was in the hospital for 4 hours a month ago, $1,700 for 4 hours. So you know, a little kid with something serious can rack up $200,000-$400,000 worth of medical bills. What's that family supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, those are the people that use the bet. A lot of them, most of them, that use bankruptcy for that purpose. What are they to do? Is a 30-year-old husband and a family and their kids supposed to live the rest of the life paying all the money they've got to the credit card companies?
Right. I and don't forget the single mothers.
Yes, right.
You bet.
You bet. You bet.
You know, the credit cards, my son had an experience with one of them. He got a $300 credit. And one of his payments, of course, he had maxed it out. You know, he was real young, and he had maxed it out, and one of his payments came due, and it got there like a day late, so they added late charges. And therefore, the late charges made it go over his limit, so they charged overcharge limit, over the limit. And he had, pretty soon, he had a $700 bill.
Yeah.
You know, because he couldn't get caught up with all the charges.
Yeah, that's...
It's just awful.
That's absolutely loan sharking right there.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. We
and you're right about the college. You know, they put out those things in the college.
Yeah.
They really do. But I'm very, very disappointed in our people.
Well, you got a lot of company.
And I really thought Nelson was good. He helped us out some, and I'm really disappointed that...
I am too. He voted for Condoleezza Rice. He voted for Gonzalez, and now this. And I'm beginning to wonder about him. Thanks for your call, Juanita.
Okay, thank you.
Great to hear from you.
Nope.
Somebody else wants to talk about the bankruptcy bill. While we're on that, well, let's just keep going with the bankruptcy thing right now. I'm going to go to Yuri and Benita. Hi, Yuri.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Good evening. I don't think it's a big problem, a bankruptcy bill. First of all, don't take money if you cannot pay it back. That's the first of all. Second of all, there are a bunch of credit card companies. They're competing for you. And they got different conditions on it. You can take with a lower rate, with a higher rate. You can take with a monthly fee, without a monthly fee. Just, I don't think it's and always, it goes to the court, bankruptcy. And if you cannot repay back, you're going to get a bankruptcy. It's not that everybody's going to be ripped off. Anyway, if you take a mortgage, the bank can take your house back.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the credit card. What's the problem? I don't see a problem.
All right. Did you hear just what I said about medical bills?
Don't pay.
Do you know that medical bills are largely responsible, are
the
very much...
Medical bills, it's not a credit card company. You can arrange with a hospital payment plan for 10 years, whatever. And most, like 60% of the hospital bills never been paid.
I don't think you understand about catastrophic illness, do you?
No, I do. I do have catastrophic plan. I know that it can be a lot of, but believe me, if you got the catastrophic situation, the court, if you file the bankruptcy, you're still gonna get it. It's not that you denied the bankruptcy at all. It's on certain conditions. If you employed, if you got $100,000 income and you still don't want to pay it, why not? Why credit card company cannot get it back? If you got employment, if you got sufficient pay, why you should not pay?
What, do you work for one of the credit card companies?
No, I'm not.
You don't?
No.
Gee, you sound like it, Yuri.
I've always been self-employed. I've been raised in Soviet Union, and I can tell you, you sound exactly like Lenin and Stalin.
Do I?
It's like working class.
I sound like Lenin and Stalin. And am I a communist then? And is that what you would say? If I sound like Lenin and Stalin?
Your point of view absolutely looks like communist party view. Absolutely, 100%. I lived with them.
Uh-huh.
I know them very good. The American people don't know them.
What happens? What happens in Russia when you don't pay your bills?
First of all, they're not going to give you credit. First of all, if you don't have a good record, if you took the credit from the bad people like mafia, what are they going to kill you? It's easy.
So, if you, of course, you have
there is no bankruptcy law in Russia. In most European companies, they don't have credit card system like America does.
Yeah, and they don't have catastrophic medical bills either, do they?
In Russia, you don't have at all.
You don't have medical bills, right? I'm afraid you don't understand about the medical thing here in this country. What's a single mother to do, Yuri, if she's got a kid to become seriously ill? And she has no money
to pay. If the single mother, she's going to get, like in Florida, the kids, which going to be covered. She's going to get medical bills covered, and the hospital will file it for her. If she doesn't have enough income, she will be covered, believe me. It has nothing to do with the credit card. Nothing to do with the grid.
Oh, Yuri, I'm afraid you've got it all backwards. No, I don't think you do, Yuri. I don't think you've read the entire bill. What do you think about the military person that's gone over there and lost their job and is working for military pay right now, and the family back home can't pay the bills? They shouldn't be allowed to declare bankruptcy either?
No, first of all, you can't file the bankruptcy. And the judge going to look at your financial situation. If your financial situation is bad, the judge going to give you a bankruptcy.
Who do you think these judges are working for, Yuri?
I'm sorry?
Who do you think these judges are working for after this new bill? They're working for the government, right? This is a federal bankruptcy court you're talking about. Yeah. You think you're going to have any mercy on anybody? No. And you don't know what you're talking about, Yuri.
Sure, I believe so.
You want to exempt everybody. You want nobody to be able to file bankruptcy.
First of all, it's individual.
Yuri, do you know who filed the biggest bankruptcy in history of the United States?
I don't know.
Enron. Enough said. But Enron can still file bankruptcy if they want to go around a second time. Hey, we got to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour. I think we're going to do that right now, and we'll be right back with your calls. Hang on. We've got a board full of them here. Listen to the Guy James Show, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We'll be right back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Hi, this is Larry King. February is American Heart Month, and there's no better way to celebrate than with Welch's, because drinking a glass of delicious Welch's 100% grape juice can actually help keep your heart healthy. It's news to a lot of people, but studies have shown that because Welch's grape juice is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar, it's actually good for your heart. In fact, Welch's has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. So have yourself a heart-healthy month. Start drinking Welch's 100% grape juice today.
Hello from the road, folks. You know, with the weather getting warmer, I'm getting out more, a lot more. So I'm staying at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotel. I earn double Easy Choice stamps for nights or double airline miles for flights. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night, maximum 10 stamps per stay, or double airline miles or credits for qualifying stays between February 1st and April 30th, 2005. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Attention, America! A message from the American Optometric Association.
As of the last census, there are 292 million Americans. That means 34,000 optometrists need to examine 584 million eyes. So let's get going, America! See your optometrists.
Have a thorough eye exam every 2 years, more often if you're over 60.
So many eyes, so little time.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
This is a wrench. This is a wrench and a can of beans. This is a wrench, some canned goods, and a flashlight. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, and a gallon of water. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, a gallon of water, batteries, blankets, duct tape, can opener, first aid kit, radio, 3-day supply of medications, playing cards, a local map, and some extra cash. When we bring all these things together, we have a disaster supplies kit, also known as peace of mind for you and your family. With a list from your local Red Cross, you can assemble all the supplies you need to prepare your home and family for an emergency or disaster. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To assemble your own kit, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life. I really wanted to help the...
30 seconds.
Which gets them a hot meal and a bed for the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to shelters because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, back at it, and I hope you are too. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Locally, 479-5540, and if you live in Naples, 263-6570. We're talking about the bankruptcy bill right now, as long as we've got calls on that. And a lot of people are hot to trot on it. We just had a guy call us a minute ago and say, oh, gee, nobody need to file bankrupt. Just every, you know, pay your bills, you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. The guy make a good Republican. He sounded real compassionate. He must have probably voted for Mr. Bush, I suppose. Where are we going here? I got to take a look here. Oh, let's go to Brad Naples. Hi, Brad.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
5 years ago, I had to declare bankruptcy because my daughter had a brain tumor. And the pharmaceutical company, because they have a patent for so long on the medicine, can basically charge what they want per the dosage. So what happened was, is that do I pay my credit card bill or my car payment or to give my daughter's medicine?
Yeah.
And, you know, I hated doing it, but it's something that had to be done.
I don't think I've never heard anybody say they liked it.
And the credit card companies, you know, they don't want partial payments. They want everything. And then because of, like the lady said, late fees and over fee payment, because they start charging you over limit fees because you're late, it just kept on racking up and there's nothing I could have done. But there are people out there with catastrophic medical illnesses, and there is a reason for it. If they wanted to be harder to declare bankruptcy, they should make it harder to get credit. When 40% of the college students who drop out of college have to drop out because they have to pay back credit card bills, there's a problem.
There is. And there's a credit problem in this country, and there's no doubt about that. And
It is hard, and you know, I'm still paying for it because now you. And the sad thing is, once you declare bankruptcy, you're a good credit risk. Everybody sends you a credit card because you can't declare bankruptcy for another 7 years. And it's a vicious cycle. Yes, there are people who abuse it, but there are people who don't. You know, I do know of people who run up credit card bills, buying everything under the sun, and then they declare bankruptcy, and that's wrong. There's some people who really do need it, like myself and my wife, and now we can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, good show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Thanks for your call. Let's see here. We're going to go to Andy in Seattle. Hi, Andy.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
Good.
Man, you sound hot today.
Well, I've been upset ever since they voted on this the other day.
You and everybody else, you know, but let's not stop there. You know, I think we ought to hold our representatives, especially the Democrats, feet to the fire. You know, since the chimp has squatted in the White House, the Democrats have lost their spine and have voted for so many right-wing ideas, they've just, you know, they've fallen over. What happened to them? So, you know, we ought to not only be talking about the bankruptcy bill, but we ought to be looking at other things, like how did they vote for the war? How did they vote for Homeland Gestapo? How did they vote for Patriot Act? Everything, they should absolutely be standing in unison against anything that the Republicans are proposing or supporting.
You're right. And, you know, somebody sent me a note the other day and said, you know, you see the Republicans walking down the street and they're all marching in rank and file in perfect order, and Democrats are like trying to get a herd of ducks together. I mean, that's just the way they've behaved.
You're absolutely right. You know, we need to adopt some of the tactics of the right and you know, unify behind our leaders, and if they're voting the way we want them to, great. Otherwise, we need to ridicule them and you know, get rid of them.
And you're right, Andy. And you know, if you use logic in a situation, there was let's see, what was the final number? 19 from 20.
Yeah, I think it was 19.
Okay. That 55 Republicans. How can it be that not one Republican thought this was a bad bill? Not one of them? Not even one of them from a blue state or one of them from a poor red state like Alabama and Mississippi and West Virginia? Not one? Yeah, there's a little solidarity going on there in the Republican Party.
A major disconnect between, you know, Washington and the rest of the country.
Oh, yes.
Huge disconnect. They're not listening to the people anymore. Have we got one-party rule now or what?
We're just about there.
Yeah.
We are. And, you know, I heard Hannity the other day say that, you know, it's their mission to destroy the Democratic Party. You know, I've had my differences with the Republicans all the years of my adult life. I have never once said that I wanted to destroy the Republican Party. That's anti-American, you know, not wanting a two-party system. That's crazy.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, you know, we're sliding further and further into a one-party rule at this point. And, you know, we've got to stop it. The only way we're going to stop it is by literally spanking our representatives at the ballot box, if we can keep that honest, you know.
Yeah.
I've been working on that for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
anyway, hey, keep up the good work. I just want to call and say hey and report in from here in Seattle, where it is actually sunny and warm today.
Excellent. Thanks for your call, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Let's get invited to call in on this subject, you know. And you better if you want something to say about it. Got Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the Immokalee workers, but since you're on the subject of bankruptcy and that, you're talking about the senators that are Democratic that voted along with Bush and the Republican Party on this. And again, you're not addressing the real issue, Guy, and you're avoiding it. And the fact of the matter is, who is a member of Skull and Bones and who isn't? Who has ties to the Carlyle Group and who doesn't? You know, it's all your secret societies that are mainly run by big corporate that own the world right now, and people are in denial. They're still sitting here in America believing the garbage that you hear and that you actually have a two-party system in this country or anywhere else in the world for that matter. And it's not. It's not, and people should be concerned and up in arms about this because this is your one world ruler.
I was coming to that.
Well, everyone's in denial. I mean, you act like you're actually having real elections, and people campaign for their candidate and believe in all this garbage. And there is nothing. It is a big ruse. What they're doing is what's behind the curtain. You're seeing the curtain. You're not seeing the real wizard. And I'll tell you, if the Americans don't wake up soon, it may already be too late. It may already be too late.
Well, I agree with that, but Diane, what do you do?
Do you
just stop fighting?
I can't say it on the phone because I'll probably end up in Gitmo, but I think any American out there with a little bit of common sense and actually loves and appreciates freedom and believes in the American way, they had better wake up and do something. And it has to do with marching in the streets. It has to do with speaking up and being... you're going to have to be a revolutionary again because you're fighting for what is right, and they've moved in. They've taken over in the middle of the night, and they keep you in the dark and keep people playing the game, and people believe it. People believe their lies. If they hear a lie enough every day, they believe it. But believe me, you are not free in this country. The greatest slaves in the world are the ones that have the belief that they're free. And believe me, people out there, this isn't Democrat or Republican or liberal or right. This is fascism, and I'll tell you, you better fight it now.
Thanks for your call, Diane.
All right,
good
bye.
To hear from you. Yeah, you remember that movie Network? Who's it, Digby? Not Digby, Howard Beale. Howard Beale in that movie. He said, we deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, and creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You even think like the tube. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. I think that's probably what's going on in Washington, D.C. Hey, let's go over and talk to John right now in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, I think you're right on target. Hello?
Yes, sir.
I had wanted to call, and I'm going to relate it to exactly what you're talking about. I had wanted to talk about the rising gas prices.
Mm.
How many people pay for that with a credit card?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can hardly hear you, by the way. I don't know if
we're loud and clear. It must be your radio or something.
No, on the phone, I can hardly hear you.
Oh, okay.
You know, how many people pay for that with a credit card? And then to relate to that, I saw an article on a local paper which says that Delta Airlines, a little bit of an airline.
Yeah.
I think you may have heard of it.
Used to be the old blue chipper, but it's...
All right. It's going to go broke.
Yeah.
It may have to declare bankruptcy.
Sending shutters throughout the industry.
Now, how does it declare bankruptcy under these new laws?
They didn't change it for the corporations.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah, but how many people will lose jobs?
No, a lot of people lose jobs.
And then how many of those people would want to declare bankruptcy?
That's right. But all the people that the fat cats that own stock in Delta, they're not going to lose their shirt. They're not going to declare bankruptcy. You're right about the employees, thousands of them.
And then how many of them are who have to move around as we do in Southwest Florida, as many of your people across the United States who listen on the internet move around with their daily vehicles.
Oh yeah,
and can't afford it.
That's exactly right.
And as you can't afford it, what do you do just to move around because you haven't got the price of gasoline?
Well, it's going to change things considerably, and it appears that we're not even close to alternative fuels yet, and God only knows what's going to... There's going to be... Anybody that thinks there isn't going to be a bigger, much bigger squeeze on oil is living in a dream world.
Well, we're paying the price. And we're going to pay the price, unfortunately, and it's going up daily. And the only thing that Bush has to offer is to drill in the Alaskan oil fields and off the coast of Florida.
And I heard somewhere, did I hear right, if memory serves me correct, that the Anwar project would only give us about 8 or 9 months worth of oil?
It's not going to solve the problem.
No.
You have to reduce your dependence on oil and use alternative fuels. And this, as I think I said to you on an earlier show, I happen to own a little piece of technology called the hybrid car that works and works beautifully.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah, I own a Prius.
Ah.
And it's a fantastic automobile.
And what kind of gas mileage do you get on that?
Oh, about 40 to 50.
Do you really?
And my question is, why aren't more made? Why doesn't the Bush administration promote this type of, if they gave more tax breaks, they can promote something when they want to so that every car maker is producing them in rapidity. Why aren't they doing this?
Yeah. And John, I heard one of the other things, that if it gets so bad that cars are getting better mileage for the oil companies, why then they're going to put a usage tax on about how many miles you drive. That's how the government's going to get around it.
Well, all we're doing is hitting the little person. You and me, I assume you drive a car.
Yes, I do.
I assume that every listener practically to this show drives a car. We're all getting hit in the pocketbook.
Oh, yeah.
And then when we can't afford it and we got to go broke, now you're saying, hey, they won't even let us do that and declare bankruptcy.
That's right.
I think that people have to realize that this is hitting the average person in the street, and I don't think people realize it enough. This is aimed at every person who's listening at us. And I think the answer is maybe we either have to do one of two things. We either have to rejuvenate this Democratic Party of ours, make it work, which it's not doing now, so it becomes a real opposition party, which it is not at present. Oh, we have to form something new. But, there seems to be no place to go for the average Joe Blow.
That's right. It's really frustrating right now. It really is. We become the party of capitulation.
And I think that the first step is, and I think you're hitting it, the first step, Guy, and I think we have to nail it, and your caller, your caller from Russia didn't realize. all of these things are hitting the little person.
Sure.
And then maybe he thinks he's an entrepreneur and he's above it all. But someday he may get hit, too.
Well, that's how it always is, isn't it?
Well, I think that's what you were trying to bring out,
sure.
What he didn't realize.
Never will happen to me.
You know, it's always going to be the other guy. You know, everybody's looking, it goes back to Charles Dickens' time, you know, the Tale of Two Cities.
Right.
Well, and not everybody is going to be on the ruling class and the gentry class.
But all those Republicans think they're going to be.
And all these people who are voting Republican think they're above it all. Oh, we're self-made people. Well, even self-made people right now have to drive cars. And even self-made people are paying it at the gas pump. And by the way, in terms of foreign policy, this is what's fueling the Arabs in terms of making, you know, for the money to support terrorism.
Well, we are their whipping boys right now, too. I mean, they've got us by the... well, so they've got us by the neck, yeah.
Yeah, we're on the radio, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's money that drives this. If you dry up that money, and it certainly has been pointed out, and I know a lot of people looked at Fahrenheit 9/11 as such an lie, but I think Michael Moore did a wonderful job in pointing out the relationship of Bush and Cheney to the Arabs.
Sure.
Now, they're getting the money from this with OPEC. Where is the Bush administration? Where is Condoleezza Rice in terms of saying, hey, folks, you're driving up that barrel of oil for your profits, and the American people are paying for it, and we're not going to support this.
Yeah, and we're supporting your military. And they cut production in January, the Arabs did. They cut production, the OPEC did. They're just being real good to us across the board.
Yeah, and we're doing absolutely nothing about it.
12 million barrels of oil a day imported into this country. 12 million barrels.
You know, there are things that we can do. Nothing has been done. Bush seems to use it for his own devices to make profits for his oil companies and Cheney's oil companies. You know, the Halliburton connection and the, what was the other connection? I can't think of the name that Bush had.
Carlisle.
You know, they're all making money. The oil companies are making money hand over fist. The Bush and Cheney are totally into it.
Oh, yeah.
Blind trust or no blind trust, they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah, they're connected at the... Hey, John, got to move along, got a board full.
I think it's all related, Guy, and I think every bit of it is there, and you've hit the nail on the head. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Let's see. We're going to go up to Dave in Humboldt County, California. Hi, Dave.
Hey there, Guy. I so much appreciate your show, and I will say that you are getting a good deal of really informed and enlightened callers. They probably have learned a lot of it listening to you, but it's coming back to you today, with the exception of one rich Republican Russian there who seems not to care about the plight of the poor people. But
yeah.
You'll get a few, I'm sure, but... I think Will Rogers that put it best, I am not a member of any organized political party. No? I am a Democrat.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think more likely what is happening, because we saw it with Armstrong Williams and a few others, this administration is not beneath writing a check for $500,000 and paying it to somebody out of the Treasury. I dare say all 24 of those Democrats were heavily rewarded for their votes.
In some form or another, monetarily they were. You're absolutely right.
I'm inclined to just speculate. I have not the evidence, but I think it's consistent with the MO of this administration. I hate to let a week go by without saying something about these dreadful voting machines, because as long as they have them, democracy in America is dead. That has to be, that one way or another, those machines have to go.
I don't trust them. I never will. Never.
No, how many people back there in Florida and Ohio and all had to stand in long lines to get up there to the front to be able to vote on a machine that decides for you how you should vote? Not, you know, that's
Dave, you're so right. And let's go back to the year 2000. Forget how it came out. I mean, let's say that Bush would have lost that 537 vote margin, and Al Gore would have gone to the White House. The Republicans would have screamed bloody murder about those machines.
Indeed.
You know they would have. And here they're over us. Get over it. You know, nothing wrong with the machines. Well, there'll be something wrong with the machines when they think there's something wrong.
Well, they'd be rioting in the streets. They have no desire whatsoever to give those machines up. That's what's brought them there. You know, if it wasn't for those machines, Bush would be bragging about how many black votes he got, but he'd be bragging from some other place than other than the White House.
That's right. I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I know you got a full board there.
Thank you, Dave.
Stay with it, brother.
Let's go up to our friend in beautiful Vermont. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great. How about yourself, my friend?
Well, I've been sick all week long, and that's the way life is. Huh?
Isn't everybody you know sick with a cold or flu right now?
Oh, God.
I've never seen it this bad myself. I don't know.
I've been waking up at like 12 o'clock in the night and coughing for about 3 hour spells, and the work was so heavy at my job, I couldn't call in sick because I worked for a really good supervisor, and I really couldn't do that to him.
Well,
I couldn't do that.
But Eric, you're a Democrat. You're a Democrat, Eric. You're supposed to be irresponsible and not.
I'm an independent. Sorry. Anyway, I would like to call, sir, and you cut me off anytime you want to. You know that. The bankruptcy deal. I was a little bit disturbed. Number one, about Senator Byrd's vote for closure. First of all, and in the final vote, when Jay Rockefeller went for everything that was going for the nay votes, I didn't understand that. I mean, I have a book right here by Senator Byrd, and I still respect Senator Byrd very, very, very much. And I don't understand, so I'm not putting him down, but I don't understand the we stand passively mute, and then he voted for the bankruptcy law. After all the credit card companies sit there and shoot the interest up all the percentage points they want to. I mean, it's like, okay, for the first month we'll give you 2.9% interest rate, APR, and then after that, anything is going to be 18.99%, and then 6 months, and then we have up to 26% and so on and so forth. And it's almost like, which pill should I take? I mean, I'm in the Matrix, and I know all this stuff, and there are a lot of people in this country that know all this stuff, but not enough people that really get out in the main life of the media that really want to really swallow the pill and say, this is really what's happening, guys, and it's not really as nice as you really think it is. And that's my first thing. Then I want to get into the debt ratio in terms of indebtedness, in terms of the relationship to the bankruptcy. What is the debt ratio for the United States in terms of their income and outcome going in terms of basic what you would claim on a bankruptcy type of affair?
Are you individually? I'm missing your point, Eric. I'm not with you on this.
For example, if you could apply to a credit card company, they would determine what your debt ratio was in terms of your income versus your output.
Yeah.
What is the debt ratio for the United States?
I really don't know.
Okay.
I really don't.
Well, then I'll shut up for a little bit of while, and you can comment. What do we want to do? I'm sorry.
No, I don't know what they're doing.
I've been sick all week long, and I'm just trying to go along here.
Yeah, I just don't know what the debt ratio is. I really don't. I don't really have any idea. You're talking, I'm not an economist.
I think basically I'm talking about responsible government. I think I'm talking about, I lived in a state where we had a person that kept a very good credit rating for states, for their credit ratings. And, you know, it doesn't matter who it was. You know, it could be XYZ, or it could be Dean, or it could be somebody else, but he basically balanced our budget in this state for a long, long time, and I'm not being pro-Dean or anti-Dean or anything else. I think it's a good idea for government in general, regardless of who the executor is, to maintain some sort of responsibility for maintaining a good credit and debt ratio
for the country, the state, or whatever, because if you don't, it puts you in a very vulnerable position. I mean, right now we have a lot of people, such as China, they could very easily put us in an extremely, very vulnerable situation if they call their death on the United States.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, is not a good executive leadership. That is very poor for our country, and has nothing to do with patriotism. It's just poor judgment to me. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, independent, or libertarian. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and our trade deficit with China is huge. It's
absolutely
huge. There's a lot of things they could do it. Whoever thought, I don't know about you. I know. I think I've been on this earth a little longer than you have, Eric. But
I got 55 coming in June.
Okay. Well, but whoever thought, when you were being raised in this country, whoever thought that this country, if they're ever taken down, might be taken down monetarily and financially instead of militarily? I know it never crossed my mind, but we're getting there.
I don't want to sit there and sound like a real crazy person, and it's not something that I support at all. But basically, the writings of some basic communist people that used to write from the early 1900s, late to 1800s, used to say that America will be taken from within rather than to be taken without.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Too much reference on that, and I don't support that. Please believe me. But I mean, basically, that's what's in a lot of ways going on.
Well, you know, Thomas Jefferson said we ought to have a good revolution about every 20 years. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what he said. Hey, Eric, got to run. Got news coming up at the top of the hour. Appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
I appreciate you.
Take care of yourself, will you?
Pardon me?
Take care of that cold, man.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't you go anywhere.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Greg Jarrett. Courtroom killer suspect surrendered.
He literally waved a white flag or a t-shirt and came out.
Gwinnett County Police Chief Charles Walters, the 26-hour manhunt for Brian Nichols comes to a conclusion after he takes a woman hostage in her own apartment in Duluth, Georgia.
Every indication is this was truly a stranger-on-stranger crime. She had no knowledge of this person before.
The woman manages to get away and call cops. Nichols accused of four murders and other crimes. Hotel shooting.
It was described as a scene of pandemonium.
Fox's Jeff Goldblatt outside the Sheraton Hotel in Brookfield, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee. That's where a man opened fire during a regularly scheduled church service and then killed himself.
A little girl, 9 years old, who was outside the meeting room where this shooting took place, said that she heard a woman scream, oh my God, someone call 911.
Police say seven people were killed. Fox News, we report, you decide.
2004 was Southern and Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005, bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends at $88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres, more than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima, $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value, Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Vince 215-718 and 473-662. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With TrueView, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
TrueView's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. TrueView, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Week News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Week News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Week News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Who's the most popular superhero with kids today? It's Mom. Ask any kid.
My mom's my hero because when our soccer coach got sick, Mom coached the whole team into the final. Way to go, Mom! And now my mom just did the coolest thing. She took the pledge to keep our home smoke-free. Way to go, Mom!
Protect your kids from bronchitis, pneumonia, asthma attacks, respiratory illnesses, even sudden infant death syndrome. Call 1-866-
30 seconds.
Your kids. You're their hero.
The environment we've created for ourselves has given pests the opportunity to create serious public health issues. Mosquitoes may transmit West Nile virus. Cockroaches can trigger asthma. Insect stings force 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. And rodents could spread Hansa virus. But we can make it harder for these pests to survive. To learn how, visit pestworld.org. Except all of us, you know.
Number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, everyone. It's, 8 o'clock here on East Coast time. No matter where you're listening, we welcome you to the show. So glad to have you along with us this evening. Call us 888-602-7500-7501-7502-7503-7504-479-5540 here in Lee County and in Collier County, 263-4560-370. Someday I'll remember those numbers and not have to read them off the list. I don't know. I don't know why that is. Hey, I want to thank everybody who helps support the show. I have a great appreciation to all of you folks here locally and on the internet. I'm going to have an updated list next week of our subscribers to the show and people to make donations to the program. We appreciate that so much because without your help, we wouldn't be on the air. So we've got some new subscribers that I haven't put on my list, so I'll get that updated next week and personally thank each and every one of you. I'm very, very appreciative. Without your help, like I said, we most definitely would not be on the air, so we do appreciate it so much. Hey, have you noticed how the networks have been, and I'll get back to the phone here in just one second. I wondered if you noticed how the networks have been lying to the public again. About Bush's Social Security speculation plan. You know, surely by now you've seen the news film clips every night on all the major networks and on Fox 2. Bush is speaking with this adoring public sitting behind him. Take note of what I'm saying here. And when you start seeing those this week, they're so scripted. Oh, my God, are they scripted. You know, he's always got the sign behind, you know, over somewhere or close, and he's always got an adoring audience sitting right behind him, and they're all smiling, and it's like Jesus was up talking, and, of course, some of them think he is Jesus. But they're all sitting there, they're well-dressed, and they're just smiling that wonderful conservative Republican smile. And Mr. Bush is talking about his wisdom about the Social Security plan. And whenever he says something they like, why, they all absolutely in unison start clapping at the same time. Somebody's out there with a cue card. Now, there's got to be someone who's got an applause sign somewhere, a red light or something. You know, They're checking everybody that goes to those. They're not letting any Democrats in. I did see that Tennessee Representative Harold Ford did the other day, just try and pacify the local people there in Tennessee. But if you're not a Republican, you're usually not getting in there. And that's, you know, the free press and free American democracy and all that. But here they are sitting behind him, and they're clapping and they're cheering. And the polls are showing that only 30-some percent of the public thinks his plan has any merit at all. And 100% of the people sitting behind him at these propaganda meetings are cheering for his plan. I'm just not sure how to get that straight. 37% of the public thinks this is a terrible idea. But 100% of them in that room are just clapping their hinds off. They're just, you know, it's just more fraud. And I'm astounded that people watching these things think they're seeing the truth. You know, people really do watch these things on Bush, on Fox and CBS and all of them. You know, they stage these events, you know, screening everyone who attends. And then the media picks them up for the evening news, and the Bush propaganda event is successful. And, you know, one thing that really puzzles me is, you know, I wonder why CBS, the network the right says is extremely liberal, I wonder why they show these events. Can you figure that out? This left wing, I mean, if this truly is, the media is controlled by the left, I would think CBS, they'd get a videotape of that and throw that sucker right in the wastebasket. Right, left-controlled media, indeed, yeah. When donkeys fly. And by the way, just, are these people that believe all that, are they brainwashed? Are they morons? I suspect maybe it's both. I'm not sure. Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hello.
Hi, Juan.
Hi. Good show. I like to listen to your show because whoever is making a mistake and voting against the majority of the American people, against the interest of the nation, whether Democrat or Republican, you let them have it. And that's, you know, that's the way it should be. You know, this fellow that called in a jury, like many Republicans and maybe some, perhaps it's because it's an immigrant, lets some is ignorant of some facts and leaves a lot of important facts out on purpose. Some people do it. I'm not saying that he did or he perhaps doesn't know. These people don't seem to hold the credit card companies responsible for making loans. The cards, are allowed to charge us a horrendous charge because they're unsecured loans. So they're high-risk loans, unlike the bank. So that was the premise why they were, allowed to do that. Now they want to take all the risk away and still keep the money. So, it's a very unfair move, and I'm glad you point out that the Democrats. Biden, I don't think he voted in that. I think he stayed out of the, wasn't there for the vote. But the other ones, I know they were, they voted against that bill.
I really am curious to know she wasn't there because she was with Bill at the hospital. I really would love to know how Hillary Clinton would have voted on that.
Yes, yes. The government is supposed to work for all the people, and the Democrats should not whine when they start losing votes or Ralph Nader or somebody else running next time because they're acting like Republicans. A lot of people vote against a Republican and for any Democrats and vice versa in the other party, and they're going to lose those people if that's what they want to be like Republicans. Going back to the credit card, there's 53 million people that don't have health insurance in this country. They go to the hospitals. The hospitals charge them a higher rate than they do the insurance companies to start with. So they have the everything against them when they go in there. No insurance, higher rate than they're being charged. And then when they go into bankruptcy, then the auto insurance company raises their rate because they have bad credit. They can't win. And the government just looking the other way. These people are being controlled by the lobbyists. And those are parasitic big corporations that can spend millions of dollars and the people that we elect just to steal them from under us, just like Connie Mack. He's doing that job over there, Connie Mack Sr., and I'm sure Junior is going to follow in his footsteps. There are 25 million corporations in this country, and that's the backbone of America. The big corporations, only seven, they're not paying their way, and we should find a way to be able to get the... I don't want to use too negative of a term, but, you know, to get those lobbyists out of there for out of Washington so that we, the people, can get our country back.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, Juan. The lobbyists own Washington in the Beltway. That's well known. They talk about it all the time. They're way more lobbyists. I think I read someplace that they're more lobbyists for the pharmaceutical industry than there are congressmen.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know, they get placed in high positions. So even if they're not lobbying, they're giving a good job, like maybe running the FDA and helping each other out. They're just, we're the people that are not represented. They're very well represented, and they're in control of things. The thing is, if we start losing our middle class, there's going to be a war, because we're not going to, you know, going to take a line down.
Absolutely right. I agree. Juan, it's good to hear from you. I think if anybody knows about this medical thing, it ought to be you. And I know you know all about it. And we, you know, Juan, I hope you hang on the line. I want my producer to talk to you for just a moment, okay?
Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ron, you can take that call in there if you will. Want to be able to talk to Juan. All right. Hey, I want to tell you about the bald-faced lie of the week. Anybody know about the bald-faced lie of the week? On 3/11/05, George Bush said, and I'm quoting him, "We're fixing the deficit." Yeah. The Congressional Budget Office on 3/4/05 said, and I quote, you know, and this is a nonpartisan group, over the 10-year period from 2006 through 2015, deficits would total $2.6 trillion under the president's budget, $1.6 trillion higher than the projection. So things are not doing so well, not so well at all. Mr. Bush doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, fixing the deficit. Not at all. And the trade deficit. I saw in the newspaper today the trade deficit in January, $58 billion. $58 billion. The trade gap surged for all of last year, surged by 24%. $617 billion. My God, how are we ever going to dig our way out of that? How are we? Hey, I think we're going to give you a little entertainment right now. Can we do that, Ron? We sure can. Well, I'll be right back with you right after this tune. I think you'll like it.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again. People think I'm a moron. What if they only knew? Except for my evil genius. And I can be stupid whenever I need to, yeah. In my memory. Buried in my literal secrets, I'm the master of misdirection, with a few intellectual defects. There's a little bit of a room that keeps in your hand, you better understand. It's the way I should look, it's always what I, it's the planet you buy.
I'm a threat to the American people.
Is he there?
from overseas saw his rhetoric as more hypocrisy and lies. He was definitely drafted that way.
I don't think we need to be subliminal. Hold this nation hostile. In 1994, there were 67 schools in Texas that were rated exemplary.
Well, sir, I ain't a real cowboy, but I am one hell of a stud.
There was no malfeasance involved to account for a complicated transaction.
Yes, you know, Mr. Bush, we can count on him for keeping us entertained, always keeping us entertained. What would he do with a brain if he had one? Gosh, I hate saying that about the President of the United States, but he hasn't given me any evidence to think anything else, so I don't know. I really don't. We're going to go to our New York Bureau, our fabulous New York Bureau. You know, the Big Apple, they got it all in New York. Hi, Jeff, how are you this evening?
Pretty good, Guy. It's not snowing, so we'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, you were talking about the road company, the Social Security road company, and it just drives me nuts. I mean, this is completely staged, and yet it's reported by the news as if it were news. Now,
right.
To me, that's the equivalent of sending a reporter out for a production of Cats and coming back and saying, Cats can sing and dance. I saw it on stage.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, this is a production that we not only can't afford a ticket to, we can't even buy a ticket to this show.
That's right.
Well, I guess we could buy a ticket if we gave money to Republicans.
Well,
but
yeah.
Only if we give money to Republicans can we buy a ticket to see this stage show.
You can bet most of those people sitting close to him, behind him, put out a shekel or two to the party to get set that close to him.
Or they graduated from sycophant school. One of the I don't know. It's like I watch less and less news because I can just stand less and less of it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't for TNT, that's drama. I wouldn't turn the TV on at all anymore.
I watch very darn little of it myself. I really do. It's disappointing to sit there and watch something come across the news that you know isn't true. You know it isn't. There you see it on national TV. I don't know.
And even you know, I would even watch C-SPAN, but I watch C-SPAN and watch this cave-in, and it's like Bird.
Yeah, of all people.
Bird caving into Bush. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it may be all over, you know?
I accused somebody of having fun with me when I first read that. I got that in an email after the vote came out, and I hadn't heard. So, and somebody sent me an email and said, Robert Byrd, that guy wrote back and said, come on. You're kidding, right?
For God's sake, the Democratic leader didn't even lead.
No,
And to watch every one of those amendments trying to protect some small pocket of who every single one, and then Santorum's thing where he pulled that thing where he had this proposal to put sweatshops back into operation, and then he admitted it was just a game to get people to not look at what we really wanted to get through. You got annoyed about this and we wanted to get through, so I did my job. I mean, cynical just isn't strong enough anymore.
No, certainly not. I mean, they're as good at that diversion as anybody I've ever seen in Washington. That's their masters. You know, we always talked about what a great slippery guy I didn't, but, you know, Teflon Bill and all that, nothing, zero, nothing has stuck to this guy with the help of the press, of course. It's incredible the things that they've gone through, and nothing has stuck to him. It just, you know, where'd the Gannon story go? I mean, that was a big story a couple weeks ago. All over the internet all the time, and it was mentioned a time or two on TV, and people did some jokes and all that. It's gone. It's a gone story. Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, well, the mainstream media, whatever that is, didn't pick it up. And I mean, they just had, what, a two-day whore fest over the shooting in Atlanta. I mean, it was a serious story, but I don't think it really required 24/7.
No.
We still haven't found him. We still haven't found him. We're still looking for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And before that, Michael Jackson in his pajamas.
Oh, that was...
A real important story.
I'd say. You know, it's like I've been doing some work for our friend Ben Birch and the White Rose Society, doing some research on White Rose, which I didn't really know much about until I started digging into these books. The parallels to what they were writing about during Nazi Germany and what we're looking at here are just to give you chills. This is a quote, one-line quote from the first of their leaflets. And bear in mind that these students put out a group of leaflets in barely less than a year, and they were executed by the Nazis. They were beheaded by the Nazis.
Ooh.
for resisting the regime. And here's one of the lines from their first leaflet. Do not forget that every people deserves the regime it is willing to endure.
Mm. It says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. So
what does that say about the people of this country right now? Wow.
They say as long as American Idol is on three nights a week, whatever Bush is doing, it's great. I began to think that, like, watching what happened this week in the Senate, like, I'm not even sure there are Democrats and Republicans anymore. There are people who are pissed at Bush, and there are people who are pissed at people who are pissed at Bush.
Yeah, it's well said. Well said. I agree
because
with
they
that.
Don't really believe in anything he's saying because they don't know what he's saying. You know, they don't know what he's doing. They know what he's saying. They don't know what he's doing. We're pissed about what he's doing, and they're just... You can't say that about our guy. He's almost Jesus.
Oh yeah, almost Jesus.
It's actually almost Hitler, but that's they won't catch onto that until they're trundled into a truck.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about that. Somebody, you know, it's like the frog they put in the pot of boiling water, you know. Everybody's heard about that. You put a frog in a pot of water and put a fire under it, and you say the frog will just swim around in there, and the fire gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and the frog is just swimming around not knowing what's happening to him until it's too late. The American people are that frog right now. They really don't realize what's happening to them.
No, I say what was done to average, again, it's we talked about it before, they are trying to eliminate the middle class, so they will be working poor, essentially indentured servants, and the ultra-rich in their gated communities and that's it. That's what they want.
Oh, and you're so right about the parallels. I've read many, many stories. I'm kind of a student of the Second World War in that era, and I've read so many stories that are so parallel to what's going on right now. There were so many people... In the days at the start of that regime, there were a few people who recognized what was going on, yet saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and the masses in Germany going, oh, come on, come on, you're crazy, you're extreme, you're radical, none of that would ever happen. Yeah, and then they start knocking on doors.
And all of it did, and I said again, if you or, you know, listeners out there have not read the White Rose Society leaflets. They're relatively short. They're just devastating.
Are they up on whiteRoseSociety.org?
A version of them is up there now. What I'm doing is creating a new layout, new design, and my versions will be up there. But it's the same text, so it's not really crucial how the page looks. But I say my pages will be up there. I think Ben said tomorrow or Monday, but a set of them are up there and available right at the top of Ben's site.
And for all you new folks who don't know what we're talking about, a great website.
Yes.
WhiteRoseSociety.org. Our friend Ben Burt's archives our shows and some other liberal shows. You can go there and download the show and listen to them anytime you want, many others too. And now this addition to it, www.WhiteRoseSociety.org. And you should throw a couple of bucks at him, help keep that website going. It's very important.
I agree, along with sending a couple of bucks to Guy James.
We could use it.
And I will let you go for now. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff, from the New York Bureau of the Guy James Show.
Good night.
Let's go over to him. By the way, you can call us, 888-602-7500, 7501-0203 or 04. 479-5540 here in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. I think we'll take one more call before the break. Can we do that, Ron? Okay. Let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
Hi, how are you, guys?
Good.
Very good. I just wanted to make a brief comment about Bush's Live this week, which also does not include the budget for the war. The money that he's talking about that he's supposedly fixing with deficit, and also the plan for Social Security. They're not included in the budget.
Yeah, they're very good at that, aren't they,
There's a number of things. I mean, that's not even the half of it that's left out of the budget. But, you know, they talk about the budget as if it's a fixed amount and all we have to be concerned about. And you're talking about billions and probably trillions on top of that that's not going to be disclosed. You know, it's as if it's like a shell game. You know, if you think the ball's over here, you know, that's where the ball is. But when you lift the shell, it's someplace else.
Oh, just like they did with the Medicare bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, they knew, they threatened the guy that came up with the numbers. Don't you dare tell the public how much this cost.
Mm-hmm.
And when the public finally did find out, it was what, 70% more than they said it would be. It's incredible what the lengths they'll go to try and make themselves look good.
Yeah, and, you know, I completely agree with, you know, Jeff, the previous caller, because I do feel that that's the plan is very conscious. I think that no longer can anybody think that, you know, or assume that these things are just accidents or they're overlooking. It's a plan. It's a plan in place to eliminate the middle class. They don't want any of the spending to go to the middle class, and you're going to have the indentured, you know, servants, and you're going to have the wealthy. And listen to this. This is interesting. I saw this on my on my email that has news flashes that came across. Instead of the cuts to the large farm operations and the dollars, the senior Republicans of the House and Senate are open to smaller reductions, and instead they want to cut nutrition for school lunches, food stamps, special aid to low-income pregnant women and children instead. So we're going to cut that instead of the budgeting dollars, the subsidies to farms.
Well, you know, Connie, those kids that don't get that food, they don't vote.
Well, that's right. They don't vote, and, you know, it's not going to be unfortunate if they perhaps even pass away from nutrition or, you know, diseases caused as a complication of that. You know, they don't care if they're going to go to college, you know, so you don't need early nutrition to support the brain growth.
Well, you know that old saying, once they're born, once they're born,
mm-hmm.
the Republicans lose all interest in them.
Yeah, exactly. I read that on your website, and I was very moved because, you know, that's truly the point. Don't kill them, but certainly don't let them progress.
Yeah.
One of the quotes was actually Bush's. He's actually proposing to withdraw food stamps from certain families already receiving them. So
there
you go.
Yeah, he's at it. We wondered what he'd do in another term. We're finding out early. Connie, thank you for your call. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your help with the program, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank you.
Anything I can do for you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We're going to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Guy James Show and Wink WNOG 1240 1270 Fort Myers and Naples, Florida. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Number 400,610.
Number 400,611.
Number 400,000.
This year, United Way helped train over 400,000 jobless people.
100,902.
700,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter. We helped provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
1,200,000.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we help restore.
My name is David.
The communities we unite.
Jake.
The newfound optimism.
Sarah.
The sense of purpose and of community coming together.
Lake. Diane. Louisa.
Michael.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way. Or log on to unitedway.org.
Workers are putting up the final drywall slabs, and you can see right here, they're putting the finishing touches on the kitchen and making sure that they have enough cabinet space to cook.
In the southeast corner of San Francisco, hope is building. Construction is underway on 36 beautiful new apartments for seniors who struggle to afford a place to live.
This is going to be, for many of these seniors, the first time that they've ever had their own kitchen or their own bathroom, if you can imagine.
For a lucky few, these apartments will mean the end of living in garages, basements, or choosing between medicine, food, and rent, all because neighbors are uniting to say yes to affordable housing.
It becomes really a symbol of hope, a symbol that, yes, there is something that we can do about the crisis of affordable housing.
Today, 1 in 10 seniors in America lives in poverty, but one by one, with one more pair of hands working with others, the picture of poverty can change. For easy ways you can help, visit povertyusa.org. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Lawyer, doctor, teacher, pilot.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Architect, actor, politician, writer.
What does your child want to be?
Musician, scientist, chef.
Well, if you struggle with reading, both of you have little chance of becoming any of those things. But nothing's worse than giving up on your dreams. That's why with family learning programs, parents and kids learn together, so they succeed together on things like computer and interview skills, GED preparation, and English as a second language, plus preschool education for kids. The results are amazing. But what's truly amazing is that the only thing it will cost you is your time. Family learning programs, the first step to a better life. Turn your life around today by calling toll-free 1-877-FAMLIT1. And be what you've always wanted to be.
Happy.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
1 minute.
20 Life Law. If you commit a crime and pull a gun, you'll go to jail for 10 years. Fire the gun, 20 years. Shoot someone, 25 years to life. Think we're kidding?
I was young. I was 16. They gave me 10 mandatory. And when they say 10, 20 life, it ain't 3, 6, 5. It's 10, 20 life. And it's mandatory day for day.
10, 20 life is the law. Any questions? This message has been brought to you by the Executive Office of the Governor, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, kid, over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're going to waste energy in your home, I'm going to pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please stop the applause. Hold it down if you can here. Hey, I begin to think this cold medicine is getting to me. You've heard me talk about it. I've had a cold now, or flu, or whatever, for a month. And I think the sum total of all the colds and flu I've had in my life added together haven't added up to a month. So if I sound a little funny tonight. Hey, and speaking of sound, looking at some of my friends on Democratic Underground, their post on a stream that we had, our link that we've got on there about the Guy James Show, our good friend Jeff from New York, New York Bureau. I'm sorry I never shared this information with the New York Bureau. We've got to be in touch with them a little better. He said it was his first week with broadband, and to his surprise, when I turned up the stream after hanging up, it was me saying goodnight. He had no idea that the Guy James Show was on a time delay. Well, actually, Jeff, it is not. Let me explain. Locally here, out over the air, we're real time. And when it goes over the internet on a stream, it's about 11 seconds, I believe, that it takes for our signal to go through the wires over to the computer up to the city that where the streamer is, and then back to all of your. It's about 11 seconds there, but we do the show real time, and So that's that. And thanks for all you guys on and gals on Democratic Underground. And I also want to say hello to all of our friends down in Bentley Village in Naples, the Turtle Club down there, a group that listens to the show every week and has helped supported the show. And to all, you know, we've got a couple of Democratic clubs around here, and well, the Greater Fort Myers Club, for example, Tony Lombardo, they're very, very active. And unless some of you think that after losing this election, if we really did, but after losing this election, that that every Democrat had a hangdog attitude, I got to tell you, it's not true. I have a close relationship with the Lee County Democrats and the Collier County Democrats. There's a big area here. And the fight's still in the dog in both of those groups. I'll tell you that right now. It really is. By the way, coming up for the Jefferson-Jackson banquet for Collier County this year, I'm just going to give you a little teaser. You might want to stay tuned in the next week or so for a huge announcement for that, okay? Now, just a little teaser there. All right. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Speaking of fighting the dog, I've been thinking so much about this lately. I've been so disappointed in our Democrats. You know, the Democrats are busy playing defense on Social Security, but is that the only issue where they can really mount a fight? You know, what, when you stop and think about it, what should be the great political debate of our time right now? It's Iraq and the war on terror. Don't you think it should be the number one thing going on right now? I think it is. We've got people over there dying. Have you heard a peep from the Democrats lately concerning the war? I haven't. And disappoints me. I think it's somewhere around 38-39% of Americans think this war has been worth the lives that we've lost fighting it. And, you know, that comes from the latest Zogby poll taken after the Iraqi election. Where are the Democrats on this? You know, the Republicans continue to control national security issues, and the Democrats are doing a great job of being almost invisible on the subject. Why? Why? I mean, you know, let's face it, the Republicans and George Bush are wide open to attack on national security issues, and the Democrats are doing nothing about it. Our ports, our nuclear facilities, our borders, they're wide open. And what do we hear from Democrats in Congress? Nothing. Almost nothing. You know, Democrats are not going to gain ground in national election until the public regains its confidence that we can defend this country against our enemies. And until the Democratic elected leaders start caring about the people who put them in office, instead of it being all about being reelected, we're going to continue to lose. Hear that, Joe Biden? Yeah. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hi, guy.
Great to hear from you.
I'm right about that Iraqi war. It is the number one issue, and I knew that we were winning on that issue when the Republican propaganda machine stopped talking about why we're there. Their new talking points are, don't ask us why we're there. We're there. What are we going to do? So they've already given up themselves. And why the Democrats don't move on that, that's blood in the water. They should move on it, but they won't. I don't understand that.
I don't get it either.
Don't be too hard on the Democrats about this Social Security issue, because for once, the people are responding to the Democrats, and success breeds success, and we got to pick our fights now in the situation we're in. And I think the Democrats are going to claw their way out and win the Social Security thing. I really do.
I agree with you on that. I really do. I don't think he's going to get this through. I really don't.
And this happened a couple weeks ago, but I was watching one of those contrived so-called town meetings of the president, and there was a government employee there that happened to be 35 years old, and the president said, how old are you? And this gentleman, he was a government employee, he said, I'm 35. He said, I'm only 35. And President Bush says, well, you're only 35 years old, and you're already talking to the President of the United States.
Oh.
Boy, that was really impressive.
Oh, man.
I had to gag on that one.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. that's so George Bush, though, isn't it?
I knew you'd enjoy that.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I couldn't have made that one up. That's so out there. earlier, something to really hit home with, when you said that the president and all the Republicans are rallying around our young men and women for those photo ops, and then they slip the knife in every chance they get. And there's one move that they're thinking about making, which they're not, I don't believe they can sugarcoat it, even as good as they are, and that is they're getting ready to take the MEDEX into the Veterans Administration and start slashing away. And if our young men and women who they're at war, we're having problems with recruiting, and this administration can't quite bring themselves to do it yet. You know, the president promised to cut the budget in half. So, you know, why not do it to the veterans? But do you think that this administration has the chutzpah to go in there and start slashing the VA at a time of war?
Well, there's a lot of things I didn't think they had the chutzpah to do, but they've been managing so far. You know, you're right, Bill. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. I hope to God they don't get away with it. But, you know, the way things are going in this country right now, the public probably go, oh, well, you know, we afford it.
And somebody mentioned Joe Stalin, who's one of the biggest criminals in history. We used to refer to him as Uncle Joe, but the younger people don't know what we're talking about.
That's right.
But when Uncle Joe would give a speech, and then the people would applaud, and when the first few people started to stop applauding, their names were taken down.
Ooh.
And they were in big trouble. And finally, they had to put an alarm bell up. So every time Uncle Joe said something, everybody would clap until the bell went off, and they'd sit down. You know, what does that remind you of?
Oh, man, it reminds me of these town hall meetings.
Yeah.
I
hope you saved that tape, that when the President Bush was asked a question about his Social Security plan, and he started to babble like a moron. I hope you'll play that again tonight, because that was just so classic. And you made the statement that his own people should play that tape for him and tell him not to answer anything hasn't been prepared, because he's a moron and he's not able to cope with it.
Well, you know, but you forget, Bill, he is the first president with a master's in business administration.
And then what really gets me is, you know, he's supposed to be the wonder boy, and nobody has enough nerve to tell him that the more he talks about his Social Security plan, which, is, by the way, is not defined in any way, the worse the numbers get. So who's going to have the nerve to go tell him to stop talking about it before it's too late?
And you're going to have to go in Karl Rove's office and tell him first.
All right.
You know.
I want to say on this on the bankruptcy bill, I watched part of that too, and one thing that was appalling to me, people that start to get into financial trouble, they know when their credit card is due, and they try to get it down to the post office and get it postmarked before the due date, not knowing that the credit card companies don't follow the same rules other companies. They don't respect their customers. And if that bill comes in late, even if it's postmarked on time, they are credited with being late.
Sure.
And then, as you said earlier, they'll check everything on Sunday when the mail's not running, and then the next day on Monday they'll check everything at 3 a.m., which is absolutely a reprehensible way to run a business. And where's the congressional oversight to stop this? It doesn't exist.
Yeah, you know, what you going to do about
it? And one of the amendments was, and I don't even know which party put it up. It might have been the Republicans. I don't really know. But they put up, one of the senators tried to get an amendment in there that if you paid your credit bill on time every month but were late on your water bill, completely unrelated, that they could go back and raise your interest for debts you already have, which is absolutely goes against every law of contracts. And, of course, that was voted down because the Republicans wanted to favor the credit card companies on that one.
Yeah, they. It's amazing what they got with. Bill, how old are you?
I'm pushing 60. I'm about 58.
58 years old, and you've been talking to Guy James already.
Oh, boy, I'm really impressed with that guy. That gives me a smile tonight, and I hope you feel better. Take care.
Thanks, Bill. Bill's a regular caller. I love the guy. I do. You know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Let's talk about chutzpah. 479-5540 and 263-6570. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you what you have to say about these issues we're talking about tonight. You know, and I'll get back to the phone here in just a moment. We haven't talked much about the war lately, and you know, all these things are going on in the Middle East that Bush is taking credit for. Oh my God, he's just saving the world right now. He thinks he's Abe Lincoln and Winston Churchill and everybody all rolled up into one. But don't you think it's odd that Bush is suggesting that Syria's occupation of Lebanon will interfere with free elections there, while at the same time, he's suggesting that, the U.S. government's occupation of Iraq doesn't. I mean, don't you think that's kind of strange? And moreover, given that 500,000 Syrians, did you see this? 500,000 Syrians turned out in a massive demonstration in favor of the Syrian occupation. And there's an obvious question that arises. When was the last time that many Iraqis turned out in favor of the U.S. occupation? In fact, has there ever been a pro-U.S. demonstration in Iraq? Somebody show me the video of them demonstrating that they're so damn happy we're over there building the schools and the infrastructure and all this that they're talking about. You know, U.S. officials continue to tell us that the Iraqi people favor the military occupation of their country. They keep saying that, yet public opinion polls in Iraq have consistently reflected the exact opposite, which is undoubtedly why U.S. officials have steadfastly refused to put the issue to a vote. They're not going to put it to a vote. Oh, well, I guess the feds figure that given the U.S. government's steadfast commitment to a, I guess what you'd call an interventionist foreign policy, no matter how much anger and hatred and terrorism it continues to fuel against our country, they might as well add a little bit of hypocrisy grist to the mill, I think. It's, when you think about some of those issues, it's hard to believe that where we're at on these things. Hey, let's go to John in Fort Myers. John, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I sure am. Well, before I talk about Syria and Korea and all that, 1,513 of our people have been killed. In fact, I think one was killed today, so that'd be 14. And 1,688 total Allied troops, I guess you could call them. You know, you talk about government, and I've gone through the dictionary and got all the definitions of the different forms of government, and people ought to do that and see what we've got. And when you come to democracy, you'd wonder why any person in power would want to give people a democracy. You'll have to go read the definition for that. In Texas, they're trying to pass a law not to give formula to mothers leaving the hospital. And the premise is that they're giving away too much formula and it's costing the taxpayers of Texas too much money. And I would probably have to think that maybe the formula company's got a bill passed that they had to give it to them in the first place. They also want to pass a law here in Florida that you can't remove a feeding tube from somebody unless they have a directive. Think of the complications that that's going to cause somebody. If my mother had not had the directives, I don't know how I could have taken care of her property, her home, her bills, all sorts of stuff. These guys that talk about deregulating and not having all these regulations do nothing but put more regulations on us. It's just unbelievable. Now, getting down to Korea and Syria and Lebanon, our country is telling all the countries around the world how they should govern themselves. I don't know what gives Mr. Bush that right or this country that right. But in Korea, I think I told you about 6 months ago that South Korea was building two roads into North Korea and a railroad, and North Korea was building an industrial park. And lo and behold, on C-SPAN the other day, I saw one of the commentators, Brian Lamb, I think it was, read an article in one of our United States papers that said the exact same thing. And my feeling on Korea is that Korea would like to talk to, they won't really talk to these six nations. They want to talk to America alone and sign a peace treaty. Now, this country doesn't want that to happen because we probably have to move our troops out of South Korea. North and South Korea combining would make it a great nuclear power. And then North Korea would come into the World Trade Program that is beating us to pieces right now. So we're reluctant to have those sit-down talks with them and let these two countries unite again. Now, Syria and Lebanon. I'm listening to Australia Radio about 5 days ago in the morning. And they're talking with some analysts and so forth about Syria and Lebanon. Syria, when they leave Lebanon, all hell's going to break loose. Syria has 1 million guest workers in Lebanon. The Syrian people have a very poor banking system, and 40% of the population banks in Lebanon, probably has 90% of their wealth in Lebanon. And, of course, those troops are keeping the peace there. And so we have Condoleezza saying, you got to take your troops out of there because they're a disruptive force in the area.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't we take our troops out of Iraq because they're a disruptive force in the area?
They certainly are.
And I just don't understand why the American people don't inform themselves a little bit more on what's going on in the world. Also on the shortwave, I hear, and I'm not sure of this, so, because, you know, you hear these things on the radios and around the world, and you're not quite sure. But our treaty with Taiwan is if China and Taiwan involve themselves in unilateral talks to join together again, Taiwan become part of China, we're going to go to war over that because we haven't been included in the talks.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't read that treaty. But, you know, with the nitwits we have in our government, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Now, I don't want to go to war over Taiwan if those two countries agree to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a debate going on with another host up farther north in this area about whether the president was given the power to go to war. And because the Constitution says that Congress is going to make that decision to declare war. And, of course, what Congress did was they passed the War Powers Act, which took their constitutional authority away and gave it to this president. And I don't think people realize it, they gave him the power to make war anywhere in the world, not just Iraq.
And, you know, and all of them, at least what they're saying is that they suffered under, you know, that they gave Bush that power because he had promised to do this and promised to do that and only be a last resort, and then he went back on all his promises. Should you be snookered that bad if you're a United States senator or congressman?
The thing about this war is it was never debated. It should have been debated up one side and down the other, and why Congress would give away their constitutional powers is just beyond me. So we have a dictator monarchy fascism here that goes on, and you can look up the definitions in the dictionary, like I said, and you'll see it. Now, Bill just made mention of that article you played about Bush and how the Social Security works, and I'm not sure. Maybe he's referring to that item that I read.
I'm not sure which.
Well, do you mind if I read it again, and then I'll...
Yeah, we got a couple minutes.
A few minutes before the top of the hour. Bush was asked how Social Security works, and this was his reply. It is a series of parts of the formula that are being considered when you couple that, those different cost drivers affecting the changing those with personal accounts. The idea is to get what has been promised more likely to be or closer delivered to what has been promised. Do you understand?
Oh, absolutely.
And it was cute. The other day he was giving some kind of award, I think, to his dad and Bill Clinton for their work over in the tsunami and the disaster area. And he's holding this thing in his hand, and he said, we're here to present this for your work in the tsunami. And then there was dead silence for about 10 seconds, and he had to look down and read, and other disasters off the plaque. So the man is, he's A1, that's for sure.
He certainly is.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call, John. You know, we're coming up to the top of the hour here in just a couple of minutes. I guess about 4 minutes. And we'd love for you to give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 for you folks in Collier County. You know, the Guy James Show has been on the air now for roughly 2 years and 4 months, I think it is. And we have been donor-supported that entire time. There have been many times through that time that we've thought, my, it's looking bleak. But you have somehow kept the show going, and we appreciate that so much. And we do want to remind you once again that you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and find a place on there or an address if you want to use snail mail, or you can use the PayPal and donate to the program. It's important that you do. It's important to American democracy that all Democratic liberal talk shows, all, what, four of of them, I don't know, across the country. I may be off on the number, but not very far. It's important that those people and us and our show be supported. Otherwise, we won't have a voice. And you have seen what 20 or 30 years without a voice has done to America. It has allowed the Republican propaganda machine to load up Congress as much as they wanted to, and they have taken the initiative away from the Democrats politically, and we have suffered a real shortfall in our ability to fight back over the air. And so, yes, we are a local show here, and we internet, we serve up the show across the internet, but it's important that as many people as possible can hear this broadcast, get the truth instead of nothing but a bunch of Republican propaganda. And as I always like to say, don't depend on me for your news. Let me tell you my take. Let me tell you what I know to be the truth, and go check up, go follow up on it. Take the time to do that. I really do hope you'll take the time to check out, and that way you'll be you'll be much more involved and much more informed. And an informed public is if you think that radio voice is not important to us, it is. We've been getting beat to death for well over a decade now. You all heard the drug junkie. Got millions of listeners every day. We've got Mr. Insanity Hannity, millions of listeners every day. We've got that crazy Michael Savage with millions of listeners every day. And of course, the sexual deviant Bill O'Reilly. Millions of people listen to those guys every day. And as you know, they're as far right wing as a person can get. So, you know, you've got millions upon millions listening. You know, even the local station that we're on right now, you can get 6 hours of Limbaugh and 6 hours of Hannity every day. They actually do a replay of both of those guys. So we got to try and even the score, folks. And only with your help can we do that. So go to the website, get the address. Please donate to the program. It helps keep us on the air. And we'll continue to bring you good facts and entertainment and the truth. You're listening to the Guy James Show on WPTK, not WPTK, Wink WNOG. That's our station. We used to be our sister station here. And Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be right back after the news with one more hour of the program.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Greg Jarrett. It's over. The alleged courtroom killer, Brian Nichols, locked up tonight.
Here's the Chevy.
Fox's Geraldo Rivera outside the condo complex where Nichols was caught this morning after a 26-hour manhunt. It went down this way. The feds believe Nichols randomly targeted a woman at the condo complex in Duluth, Georgia, held her hostage in her own apartment. She eventually escapes and calls cops.
He was able to get out of the apartment, called us, and our SWAT team responded.
Relieved residents in the Duluth neighborhood cheer as the FBI drives Nichols away. Nichols is accused of killing four people, a U.S. Customs agent, a judge, a court stenographer, and a sheriff's deputy. He's facing a laundry list of charges. In other news, a gunman shoots up a church service at a Sheraton Hotel in Brookfield, Wisconsin. A total of seven people murdered. The gunman then kills himself. Fox News, we report, you decide. A little upset.
Why? Are the in-laws in town?
No, everybody wants me to spend money. Buy now, pay later. Buy two, get one free. I want to save money, not spend it.
Now, how about this? Call Bray's Mortgage.
What can you do for me?
We've got the best rates, refinancing home purchases. We'll cut your payments virtually in half with our new interest-only loan.
Let me guess, refi now, pay later, right?
No, save now, call now at 239-598-1881 and listen to the Bray's Mortgage program every Saturday at noon.
I'll call Breeze Mortgage, a great loan for my great...
Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hawk Financial Group, hosts a talk show all about money on Wink WNOG every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. There you can find out information about their free financial physicals. The free financial physical will review your goals, needs, and objectives. Call in each Saturday morning at 10 and have your investment questions answered. All about money and investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown and Hawk Financial Group. Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1240 and
and 1270 Wink WMOG.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Attention.
1 minute.
The best selection of the late model car, truck, or SUV of your dreams. Go to Steve Westfall's Auto Showcase in Cape Coral. Hand-picked, like new low-mileage vehicles, all with full warranty, most with remaining factory warranty. Steve Westfall has over 200 vehicles to choose from. Virtually every make, every model. We have the vehicle and payment to fit any budget. No need to go over the bridge. The best deals are right here in Cape Coral. Keep your business in the Cape and buy locally from Steve Westfall. We'll even give Cape Coral residents an additional $1,000 down payment assistance. Put zero down. Financing available on site. Don't pay new car prices. You could drive a light new vehicle with low mileage and full warranty for thousands less. Hurry while the selection lasts. Exclusively at Cape Coral's very own Steve Westfall's Auto Showcase. On Del Prado, one block south of the Midpoint Bridge. That's on Del Prado, one block south of the Midpoint Bridge in beautiful Cape Coral. Or call 239-458-SHOW. That's 239-458-SHOW. To qualified buyers, see dealer for details. Thank you.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, Guy James Show listeners. We're very appreciative to have all of you with us this evening. We've got our Democrats.com folks along with us, our DemocraticUnderground.com, the people over at SmirkingChimp.com, and all sorts of different websites around the Internet listening tonight. And, of course, our local audience, too. We're glad to hear from all of you. It is a talk show, you know. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. We got a couple lines open right now, so do give us a call. We'd be glad to hear. We've been talking tonight about the bankruptcy bill. We've been talking about Social Security, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the mess in the Middle East right now. You know, Bush Jr., along with his neocon friends, have been crowing about this sudden wave of freedom and democracy that he has set in motion. He, you know, Lebanon, Iraq, the Ukraine, Afghanistan, the discussions between the Palestinians and Israelis. He's taking credit for the whole ball of wax, and a good number of people in the media have swallowed his line, bull, hook, line, and sinker. And the public, listening to the right-wing radio talkers, are eating it up, too. I've heard many, many right-wingers this week, and, you know, since, my God, this sudden outbreak of democracy in the Middle East, it's wonderful what our president has done. Even Limbaugh and O'Reilly the pervert, Michael Savage, they've been having a field day telling their mind-numb audience that Bush has saved the world. I've heard that, and you have, too. There's just one problem with it. None of it's true. Hardly any of it's true. The new so-called democracy in Afghanistan is extremely unstable and marginal at best. A Iraq is a virtual cauldron of violence and upheaval, and not even close to achieving any sort of domestic tranquility. You know that. You see it on the news. What little they do put on the news nowadays. You heard all the horrible stories this past week. And as for the Ukraine, they've been trying to get rid of the Russian influence in their country since the late 80s when Junior Bush's daddy was in the White House. Bush had absolutely nothing to do with it. And don't you think that Yasser Arafat's death was the one and only reason that the Palestinians and Iraqis have decided they can at least get together and talk things over? You know, how did that happen? Did Bush have Arafat killed? That's the only way he could have precipitated that. You know, I don't think he had anything to do with it. And then you've got the Syrian withdrawal. It was set in motion with the assassination of the Lebanese prime minister. Did Bush have him killed, too? You know, it's the only way you could claim credit for this. Frankly, the arrogance of this administration is astonishing. And if you think it's astonishing to the U.S., have you heard what others around the world think of it? They can't believe the hubris of Bush and his people. They think if he is capable of claiming credit for winning World War II. And after all, some people in his administration have compared him to Churchill, and I think that is probably the most laughable thing in my life that I've heard anything about politics compared George Bush to Winston Churchill. If that isn't a laugh, I don't know what is. The net effect of his actions in the Middle East is that the rest of the world hates us even more. Every day they hate us more. Imagine the gall of the Americans claiming responsibility for all that's happened in the Middle East right now. I mean, it is laughable. You know, and think about it for a moment. We're creating untold millions of new enemies. We may be the most powerful nation on earth, but we're not. No matter how powerful we are, we're not capable of controlling the world as Bush and his band of fellow crazies think we should or could even. What if all of Europe turns against us? We're in trouble both militarily and monetarily. Have you thought about this? We pick a side in every one of these conflicts in the Middle East. Usually it's none of our business, but we do it anyway because our fearless leader thinks that we're the big brother for the whole planet. Well, in each one of these conflicts, let's take the Lebanon-Syrian problem, one of them will win and one of them will lose, and the loser will hate America for meddling in their affairs. You know, we had Ronald Reagan and George Bush's daddy. They helped their good friend at the time, Saddam Hussein, and defeat the Iranians. Guess who hates us after that little scuffle? And we go into Iraq and bomb hell out of everything that moves, including innocent civilians, women, kids, hospitals, schools, and all. Then it comes out that we're torturing some of their people in Abu Ghraib prison, sending some innocent Iraqis to Gitmo, and guess who hates us? And we kill over 100,000 Iraqi people, not to protect ourselves from George Bush's claims that they had weapons of mass destruction, not to free them from Saddam Hussein, not to stop them from producing WMDs in the future, not for any of that, but simply because we have a cowboy for a president who thinks he should control the world, and all those we killed have families, wives, kids, aunts, uncles, and they will never, ever forgive the United States of America for killing their innocent loved ones. They're going to hate us until their dying days, and who could blame them? You know, we've got a president foolish enough to say in public that this is a crusade. 1.6 billion Muslims on earth, and he says this is a crusade. You know, only a madman or an idiot would have made that statement. We even hear of some of these far-right neocons saying that we need to wipe out all of those evil Muslims because it's an evil religion. Kill 1.6 billion people. People actually entertain that idea. You know, their number one spokeswoman, Ann the Man Coulter, says we should kill what we can and convert the rest to Christianity. That's a quote. Now, that's a real Christian talking right there. That's a real compassionate conservative. Frankly, why do I say that? That woman is nuts. She's nuts. And, you know, Hannity can't have her on enough. Every right-wing show on TV has her on all they can. The woman is crazy. She's a flaming wacko. And yet she's some sort of a spokesman for the Republicans. You know, even the number one neocon big shot far-right Christian himself, Jerry Falwell, says we need to kill as many of them as possible. And we wonder why they hate us. Did any of what I just said sound unreasonable or untrue to you? Call me. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. Love to hear from you. I think we got another song we're gonna play for you tonight, don't we, Ron? Well, we did number one the other time. You give us that number three cut. Or else I'll start singing myself. You don't want that. No, I'm sure you don't.
Put your mic hot.
The guy James Singer's there. Thank you for that beautiful song. And we got them in the next room here. And wonderful job they did on that. It's beautiful. I got a tear in my eye, actually. Very emotional. Very emotional about things like that. You know, as weeks go by, we just had another election not long ago, and I was so hopeful that we would win it, and we didn't. And we're in a mess right now. We've got, what, almost 4 years left of this. And God only knows where this Bush guy's going to take us in this next 4 years. And I wonder if many of you are experiencing the same kind of uneasiness that occasionally drifts into my mind nowadays. It seems to be happening more and more as time goes on. And it makes me sad to know that these troubling notions are the kind which I never thought I'd encounter in my lifetime. I really didn't. I really think for a good many years it was the age of innocence, and we're in trouble now. And a lot of you know that. Some of you don't want to realize it. But, you know, I was raised in the 50s and early 60s during a time when America was, for the most part, peaceful and still pretty doggone pure in the minds of most people. And I was taught to believe that our country was the best and the brightest and the invincible great power, the beacon of hope for the rest of the world. Yes, it was a good time to grow up. And I know that some of my beliefs of those days were an illusion. For there was racial strife going on and division in our nation. The Cold War was peaking, and the Soviet Union and the United States were constantly rattling their sabers at one another. And, you know, there was a Cuban Missile Crisis, the assassination of our beloved leader, John Kennedy. What a dynamic man. How many of you remember Khrushchev banging his shoe on the desk in the United States, in the United Nations, rather, and his famous "We will bury you" statement? But all in all, it was a good time to be an American. It was truly an age of innocence. It was for me. I think it was America's very best time. But along came Vietnam, and things began to go downhill, and this war we're in right now reminds me of that so much. And Vietnam caused a terrible divide in this country, much like we're going through right now. And there always is in times of trouble for our nation. There were those who backed our leaders, whether they were right or wrong. And it didn't matter because we were America, by God, and we were always right. Well, some of us, I don't know when exactly it happened to me, but some of us began to have second thoughts about always being right. Is anybody or any entity always right? It was, it was traumatic for us because we were old enough to know what was going on. Our parents, who were still in a lot of ways basking in the pride of the great victory in the Second World War and all the glorious patriotism that went along with it, our parents taught us we could do no wrong. Everybody taught us that we could do no wrong. Go to school, we heard that. I mean, wherever you went, America was number one, and we could do no wrong, and we believed it. So these new thoughts that many of us started to have during Vietnam, these thoughts and ideas that America was involved in something totally wrong for our nation, they caused trouble between the generations. And the first time I had seen that in my lifetime, real trouble between the generations, and Lord knows it was a troubling time. And for the first time, many of us accused our government leadership of failing the people of the United States. I never had thoughts like that before. Not at all. You know, there were riots and demonstrations and even killings on college campuses all across America. It was a bad, bad time. It was a really bad time. But even through all of that, I never really lost faith in the people of the United States. I still thought that because of the good hearts and minds of the people of this country, we were still the best and brightest. And I've continued to think that right up until just a few short years ago. And I don't apologize what I'm saying, but I hate to say it. I'm having doubts, and it troubles me terribly. I don't want to have the thoughts about my America that I'm having now. I feel like I'm losing something very precious to me, something that's irreplaceable, something that can never be returned to me. My faith in the American people is being shaken right down to its very foundation, and I really feel a sense of desperation about it that I have not known as an American citizen before. I feel like we're on the road to ruin, and there'll be no way out of it for us if we don't turn back soon, and I'm as serious as can be about that. Just during the past few weeks, I've started to hear talk from the right that perhaps we have too much free speech. Perhaps we have too much freedom. They're actually throwing those ideas around. They're saying that maybe we need to sacrifice some of those things to keep safe from these evils of terrorism that they're always talking about. It's not so bad that I hear people like Hannity and Limbaugh and Neil Bortz and Savage and others like them saying these things. It's not so bad that some of the politicians on the right, like Tom DeLay, agree with them. What is so bad is that I'm starting to hear it from the people. The people. The people agreeing that maybe we need to give up some of the sacred rights guaranteed by our Constitution and Bill of Rights. My God. What is wrong with the people saying such things? How could the people of this great nation even consider forsaking some of the freedoms in order to be safe from terrorism? What was it, Ben Franklin, that said those who are willing to trade a little temporary safety for freedom deserve neither? I have probably butchered that, but you know what I'm saying there. How have the minds of millions of Americans been so warped and twisted that they would even think of such things, let alone speaking them out loud? Who would have thought that during those peaceful times that I'm talking about, that people would talk about giving up their freedom? Why have they allowed the twisted minds of some of our present leaders to influence them in such a profound way? Why? Why have they allowed the right-wing media horse to tell them how to think? And how has this happened? You know, it's not in some banana republic, not in some country led by despots, but right here within view of the Statue of Liberty. And I sometimes think Lady Liberty has to have tears running down her cheeks at some of the things that are going on in this country. You got Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage want to call liberal Democrats traitors, and they do. What the hell do you call those willing to give up freedoms that were bought and protected by the blood of American patriots down through the years? They're either monumental cowards or traitors to this nation. Take your pick. The very mention of sacrificing some of our freedoms for any reason actually makes me ill, and it should make you ill, too. I wonder how many of those who are blinded by the right-wing media onslaught understand what happened in Nazi Germany in the early 1930s. And I know a lot of people say, oh, it disgusts me when you talk about Nazi Germany, comparing it to what's going on in this country. I wonder if they understand that all that happened, it happened gradually, little by little. People's freedoms were taken away until one day the will of the people didn't matter anymore because the power had been handed to someone who was going to take care of them, someone who would protect them from the evils of the outside world, someone who had their best interest in mind, someone who thought the military was the answer to all their problems. This wave of nationalism spread, and someone who had the world domination in mind. Yes, indeed, he did. And it was a disease, a terrible disease that swept over that nation like a whirlwind and then swept up even some good people who thought they were doing the right thing. I think that's happening right here. There's some good people who think we're doing the right thing. Is this going to happen to my America? Are they going to try? They are trying, and they're already trying. And I want to warn you that if this gang of neocons has their way, you might as well plan on living in a country where if you say something they don't like, you'll be having your front door knocked down at midnight by a bunch of jackbooted thugs. I know some people who lived through it, and they'll tell you they never, ever thought it could happen to them, but it did. Oh, it did, all right. And untold millions of people died because the people allowed it to happen gradually, little by little. Little by little, drip, 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 and that's what's going on in this country right now. I hate to be so negative, but you can see it all around you. It's so evident, and it amazes me that more people don't see it. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally. Love to hear from you, and I hope we do. We'll be back right after these words.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
109? Are they out of their mind?
It's Suzuki Mania at Colonial Suzuki. Spring shipments are on their way, and we must make room. Get crazy low prices on brand new Suzukis like Reno or Forenza SMT. Your choice. 109 a month.
109? Are they out of their mind?
From the Aereo sedan to the XL7 sport utility vehicle, every new Suzuki is covered by America's number one warranty. 7 years, 100,000 miles. Colonial Suzuki, the largest Suzuki dealer in Florida, has dropped prices so low.
It's insane!
Take your choice of a new Suzuki Reno or Forenza SMT. 109 a month.
109? Are they out of their mind?
Maybe, but you have to be crazy to miss this sale.
Make the smart move!
Rush to Colonial Suzuki. One block east of the Edison Mall on Colonial. Monthly with 700 DC plus 3,000 cash and pay up and down plus tax saving title. All rebates and incentives. See dealer for details.
Four big days, 12 banks, 5 million in pre-owned automotive loans. One location only. Call your county's number one used car retailer, Germain Toyota's Big Lot in Naples. Cut out the middleman and see how low your payments will be. When the banks compete at Germain's Big Bank event, you win with low APRs, as low as 0%, and instant credit approvals. Choose from nearly every make and model. Toyota, Ford, Dodge, Chevy, Lincoln, Mercury, Nissan, even Lexus, all with big warranties up to 100,000 miles. Trade-ins, auction vehicles, rental returns. Hurry. First come, first served. It's the used car sale you don't want to miss. Four big days, 12 banks, 5 million in pre-owned automotive loans. One location only. Germain Toyota's Big Lot. US 41, just south of Bonita Beach Road. I-75, exit 116, Naples. This is your best opportunity to buy a used car, and you can bank on it.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jeff Corwin from Animal Planet. Years ago, Americans learned the tuna they were eating was caught in a way that killed thousands of dolphins. Our government responded by banning the import of this tuna. The Dolphin Safe Tuna label was put on tuna cans to help consumers make the right choice. And dolphin deaths dropped by 90%. But proposed changes to this program would allow dolphin deadly tuna to be sold under the Dolphin Safe label. Visit SaveDolphins.org to learn how you can help.
Let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community with Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Volunteering can really be fun. In fact, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
But we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should.
You free tonight?
Sure.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org. Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show. Hoping our vocal cords last the rest of the show. I tell you, this flu and cold season has been a nasty one. I was in a drugstore this morning, and everyone in there was in the cold and flu medicine aisle. it's just the way it is right now. But we'll make it somehow. I got a letter from Vice Admiral Jack Shanahan, U.S. Navy retired. He served in combat in World War II in Korea and Vietnam, and he commanded the North Atlantic Fleet. And the letter says, Dear Guy, when Congress refused to continue funding the Vietnam War, that spelled the end of the U.S. campaign there. Based on thoughtful analysis by both conservative and progressive analysts, this alert is the first step in the process of getting out of Iraq. Next week, the House of Representatives will vote on the President's request for $82 billion to pay for the ongoing military occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq. That's a lot of money. It's enough to feed the world's starving people for 5 years or more. It would save the lives of millions of kids. Aside from how that money could be better spent, a toll continues to be taken on the Iraqi people, our own service members, and America's image throughout the world. Yet even as the quagmire in Iraq worsens, Bush continues to refuse, number one, to specify when we will exit the country, and number two, make clear that America will not establish permanent military bases there. If you're a true majority member and you'd like to send a message to your representative urging them to oppose the supplemental bill for Iraq unless an exit plan is included, why, contact your representative. You need to contact your representative. Well, these people, we're going to find out how much cojones our Democratic friends in Congress have got next week as well when they vote on this. How many of our Democratic elected officials will stand up next week when this comes to the floor and say, hell no, 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 we're not spending any money on that war until you tell us when we're out of there? I realize you can't give us an exact day or maybe an exact week, but you've got to have an exit strategy, and there is none. There, have you ever heard Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, any of them, give any hint of an exit program? No. No, nothing at all. So, you know, something's got to be done, and we're going to find out just what kind of nerve our Democrats have, or will they join with Mr. Bush once again and just do whatever he likes, give him another $82 billion so he can get some more of our soldiers killed and really nothing accomplished in Iraq. Nothing. Just a little side note here. Someone sent me an email today. Ex-GOP director gets prison for dirty trick. A lot of you are aware of the situation. The former executive director of the state Republican Party was sentenced in Concord, I guess that's New Hampshire, to 7 months in prison for jamming Democratic telephone lines during the 2002 election. Chuck McGee pleaded guilty to federal charges of conspiring to make anonymous calls with the intent to annoy or harass. McGee, who resigned in 2003, admitted paying $15,600 to a Virginia telemarketing company that hired another business to call Democratic Party offices around the state to disrupt their get-out-the-vote call efforts. Well, now, isn't that just dandy? And by the way, We're equal opportunity here. If you can think of anything in the last decade that the Democrats have done just like that, why, give me a call. I'll be happy to listen to you if they have. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. If you have any thoughts on this bankruptcy bill this week or Social Security, do you think Bush is going to get this passed? Do you? I really wonder. I don't think he is. I don't think he's going to get away with it this time. He's fooled me before, but I really don't think with currently about two-thirds of his own party against him on this, I don't think he can get it done. Now, I've underestimated him before, like I said, and I've underestimated the power and influence of Tom DeLay. We'll see if he can get it done. You notice how when we talk about the House, we never talk about Dennis Hastert. It's Tom DeLay that's got control of the House. Absolutely. With an iron fist, he controls it, and everybody knows it. But what do you think will happen on that? 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You know, do any of you listen to some of the right-wing pundits and talk show hosts? Do you? I do from now and then. You know, the old, what's that show, Godfather? Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. So I do listen to them now and then. Find out what they're up to and what their current plot is against the Democrats. I do. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. I'm going to go to Russ in Fort Myers. Hi, Russ.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. I want to talk about Iraq, but first of all, I don't believe the Social Security will get passed, the reform. Actually, I wish it would for the benefit of the younger people in America, but I don't think it will pass. And as far as Iraq, I have to disagree with you on your statement that it's a quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe that.
How many people were blown up this week?
Well, I think you're looking at one aspect of it, and I don't think that you're looking at the whole picture, and there's a lot of positive things coming out of Iraq.
What are the positive things?
Well, number one, the first free election that they've ever had, and the possibility of democracy coming to that country.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's unbelievable.
And that benefits us how? With our 1,500 dead soldiers?
Well, a stabilized Middle East, any country in the Middle East that's stabilized, benefits us wholeheartedly because you won't have the anger built up that you have right now against the United States.
Do you think the anger in Iraq and Iran against the people of the United States is going to go away?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It'll never go away. That's like when they ask Bush if you'll ever win the war on terrorism. I don't think it's winnable because it'll never stop. But can we make progress? Absolutely.
Have we made progress?
I think we're on the right track. Our work is still a long ways from being done. But yeah, I really do. I feel like
you think it's been worth it?
How can you put one life and say, if you lose one life, and say it's worth it? To that family, it probably isn't.
Yeah.
But
We're bankrupting. We're bankrupting the country right now with the expense of this war.
Bankrupting the country? What? Come on.
Oh, we're not.
Still, we're bankrupting the country.
You think we can afford this war then?
We are affording it.
We are?
Absolutely.
Do you know what the deficit is right now?
Listen, the numbers are numbers, but this country will never go bankrupt. That's crazy.
How can you say that? How can you say that?
The gross national product, you got to look at the percentages. There is no way this country is going to go bankrupt. You know that, and I know that.
No, I most certainly don't know that. Our dollar is falling to rock bottom right now. If China and Japan called in the bonds that they hold right now, they would bankrupt us tomorrow.
There's tomorrow. There's going to be a bankruptcy, and you know that. Wait, okay, our country's going bankrupt, but Social Security's fine, right? They're not going bankrupt.
No, there's enough money to pay off for quite a long time.
But our country's going to go bankrupt.
It certainly can.
Well, that's great. Social Security will be paying, but our country will be bankrupt.
Now, you're not making any sense now. You think the budget deficit can continue to climb like it is, and we can continue to prosper in this country?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
But when the economy's turning around like it is now...
It is?
You don't think so?
Absolutely not.
The budget...
Absolutely not. There's more people working two jobs now than there's ever been. There's more people working for Walmart wages than there's ever been.
That's their lifestyle.
No, it's not their lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely it is.
It is not their lifestyle. There are millions of people working part-time right now looking for a full-time job.
Back in the 50s and 60s when you had one person working in a family... You didn't have credit card debt. You didn't have two car payments. You didn't have a TV payment. You didn't have all this. People lived within their means. Right now, we're living above our means, a lot of us.
So, in other words, we won't go bankrupt as long as we all go down to one TV and one car.
We will be long gone before this country goes bankrupt. How's that?
I don't think you've got a leg to stand on there. Every indication right now shows that we're in serious financial trouble. And if you don't understand that we're in serious financial trouble right now, you're not living in a real world, my friend. The budget deficit cannot continue to go up like it has. You think that because we've never gone broke that we can't go broke? Sure, we never have. That doesn't mean that we can't.
The deficit went up because of all the factors that have gone on the last 3 or 4 years.
Uh-huh.
9/11?
No.
Recession?
No.
No, that's...
When was the recession, by the way?
It was in March of 01.
Okay, so it...
Is when they said it was a full-blown recession.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I wrong?
No, I think that's right. It was a full-blown recession then. So you think Bush's policies have cleared it up?
You know what? The economy's like business, like the stock market. It runs in cycles. It's cyclical. It goes up, it goes down. It cannot continue a straight upward. It's not healthy to go straight.
So then it wasn't Jimmy Carter's fault. It wasn't Jimmy Carter's fault when the interest got out of control and all that back when he was in office.
No, absolutely not. The president isn't that powerful to make the economy go flat like that. He doesn't control jobs. He doesn't control other factors in other countries. It's cyclical. It goes up, it goes down. Was Jimmy Carter a good president? I don't think so.
Why not?
But was he responsible for the economy and the interest rates? No.
Then Bush isn't responsible either.
No, I wouldn't say he is. Now, is he responsible for what's happening in the Middle East 20 or 30 years from now? Good or bad? Yeah, we'll say yeah, he is. He had the balls to do it. And I stand up for him.
Well,
but it's good talking to you.
I'm glad you do. You're entitled to that opinion. Well, there's a guy that's optimistic, says we can never go broke. I happen to disagree. Ask the people up in Cleveland if a big governmental entity can never go broke. We go broke. We can go broke, and it's looking very, very, very bad right now. Very bad. I'm not going to be saying we're all going to be out in the street dressed in rags right away. That I don't mean it in that way. But we're losing our financial influence around the world. We are no longer the big dog on the block financially around the world. Any day now, I'm expecting, and I hope I'm wrong, I'm expecting OPEC to switch over to the euro. They're talking about it right now. That'd be the smart thing for them to do. Change over to the euro because the dollar's getting to be worthless over there, and they'd rather deal in euros than in dollars. And we got our good friends, the Saudis, sticking it to us constantly. 12 million barrels of oil a day. A trade deficit completely out of control. Completely gone. I heard the figures today that was something like $18 billion a month just to Japan and China. It can't continue. You know, along with the budget deficit, the jobs are leaving. All the indicators right now are not looking good. It's not looking good for the United States to return to the prominence that we once enjoyed in this world. I'm not happy about it, and I know a lot of you aren't either. You can give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We'll be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Child obesity rates in the U.S. are increasing at an alarming rate, with over 15% of children considered obese, twice the amount as in 1975. Proper diet is essential for weight control, and 5 servings of fruit and vegetables each day can make a positive impact. Fresh peaches, plums, and nectarines, for example, contain vitamins A and C, as well as potassium and fiber. They also contain antioxidants, including beta-carotene, that help maintain eye health. Parents can play a big role in helping children achieve a healthy diet.
I love it when my mom gives me fresh fruit. It's fun to try her smoothies. And I like it when she makes peanut butter sandwiches with peaches, plums, or nectarines instead of jam. Also, my mom knows how to freeze fruit and store it in a plastic bag for treats that are perfect for a hot summer day.
For a free brochure, visit www.eatcaliforniafruit.com.
This is a quiet message about noise and the possibility there's too much of it in your life. Audiologists know that everyday sounds like lawnmowers, music with headphones, even the commotion of a crowded restaurant can hit 85 decibels. That's loud enough over time to cause permanent hearing loss. So keep an eye on your ears. For more on hearing health and the 85 danger zone, visit asha.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association.
News when you need to know. Pete Combs in the morning.
Major accident in Eastport Fires today, as many as 14.
Ray DeLuna on your drive home.
Back after this.
Man and Southwest Florida news when it breaks. And traffic updates every 10 minutes throughout your workday. The number one choice for news, information, and great conversation.
Folks, I'm about handed up to here.
Bringing the world to you.
The terrorist enemy is scattered.
1240 and 1270. Wink WNOG.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, we're back, and no disrespect intended, because everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I'm entitled to disagree. I think the fellow that just called a few moments ago did a fine job of repeating the Republican National Committee's talking points. He'd been listening to right-wing radio quite a bit. Why is it when we have a Democrat in power that Republicans talked about the budget deficit and, oh my God, it's a terrible, the sky is falling. But when it reaches a record during a Republican primary, it's not really a problem because, to quote him, numbers are numbers. We'll see. Hey, let's go to Carlos in Naples, who wants to talk about the Gulf War. Hi, Carlos.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I was just wanting to have a conversation you just had with the gentleman before.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding you know, the reasons for the war that we're in right now, and also the economic difficulties that we're having,
yeah,
because of it.
Go ahead.
Okay, basically what I wanted to say and get your response is this. I agree that it's making it very difficult for us economically, the war that we're having. My concern is that if we didn't do this at this time, that it would be much more expensive in the future.
Why would we have to do it in the future?
Why would we have to do it in the future?
Yeah.
Because if we didn't go and over there and try to change attitudes and help the people over there, we would have more problems in the future here. We would have had more attacks. We're fighting the terrorists on, you know, their land rather than in the United States. I believe that we would have had many more attacks here, and at least we're confronting them not on our homeland.
Now, that's repeating the right-wing talking points word for word right there. You honestly think that the Iraq war has lessened the chances of another attack on our soil? You honestly believe that?
I don't repeat anything from anybody.
Well, they just happen to coincide, and it's a coincidence. Well, but you honestly believe that our being in this Iraq war and losing 1,500 soldiers has made our shores safer?
It's a terrible thing that we've lost 1,500 soldiers.
I'd say it's a catastrophic thing.
Okay, and I have two sons in that age group.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have to, this is the way that I feel.
Did they join the military?
No, they haven't. I have one that's 19 years old, and I have one that's 22 years old, and you're absolutely right. No, they haven't. But the fact is this, it doesn't change the fact that we lost over 3,000 people. Okay, and the World Trade Center.
Yeah, and what in the world did that have to do with Saddam Hussein in Iraq? What at all? Anything?
What did it have to do? It had to do with the fact that Saddam hated the United States.
What did Saddam have to do with 9/11? You tell me. Because I want you to know that the President of the United States and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld have all faced the facts and owned up to the fact that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11, but you think he did.
No, I didn't say that. You're putting words into my mouth. And please don't do that, because let me tell you something. I've worked with people over the last 20 years, and I was not born in this country. I love America, but I want you to be very clear on this point. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I am a American, okay? And what I can't stand is the people that I've worked with over the years. When Clinton was in office, all I heard was how bad Clinton was. When Bush is in office, all I hear is how bad Bush is. Okay.
How was things in this United States during the Clinton years? How were things?
How were things?
Unparalleled prosperity in this country. Did we get 1,500 soldiers killed anyplace?
No, I agree with you there. But the thing was that maybe if Clinton would have went after,
Why would Clinton want to go after Saddam Hussein, who, by the way, was a good friend of Ronald Reagan and George Bush's father?
You know what? That, to be honest with you, I don't know if he was a good friend of theirs or not.
We supported him and armed him in the war against Iran.
You know what? We supported a lot of different people.
We sure have.
In the past, they're not the best people, but it has to do with the fact that the United States needed them at that time.
So in the war against Iran, where millions were killed, you know, if you want to spread goodwill in the Middle East like they're talking about now, which, by the way, the ball keeps going the opposite way. They've changed the reason for going there how many times now? First it was weapons of mass destruction, and then it was the possibility might have weapons.
You can say whatever you want about that. I believe, that they were either transported or something. And when I say,
you know, it doesn't matter what you believe, because there are facts that you have to own up to.
You know what?
And the facts are, the President of the United States has said they didn't have them.
You know what? The President of the United States, that's because of all the pressure that's been applied and all the and whatever. But the way that I feel, and it's only my opinion, and we talked about opinions. okay, was the fact that they could have dumped it. They killed how many Kurds in that country? He's killed how many people were doing the right thing by going over there and trying to build a democracy, you know, or at least giving them a chance to show how American people are.
Oh, they're seeing how American people are, all right. We've got 150,000 Americans over there now tearing up their country from one end to the other and killed 100.
And what would you like us to do? What would you like?
I would like to for us to have stayed out of Iraq where we had no business going whatsoever. Here we had a toothless dictator, had no power whatsoever left. He had a military budget about the size of Lebanon's. He had nothing left. We had him completely castrated, if
and
you will.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really think that Bush... What was the reason for Bush going over there? Can you explain that to me? Do you think that Bush and the people, the Republicans, are just out to destroy our country?
No, this Bush gang is out to be an imperialist. That's exactly what they're after.
Come on, give me a break.
I'll give you a break. What other reason?
What happened was they came over. They didn't come over here, but a lot of the Muslim people hate us. For whatever reasons.
No, stop right there. Whatever reasons. Give me the reason. Give me the reasons. I'll give you the reason. You tell me the reason the Muslim people hate us.
No, you tell me.
All right. For number one, we backed the Shah of Iran that killed thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in Iran. And then we backed Saddam Hussein against Iran, and killed a million of them. There's no wonder every one of us hated.
The reason that they hate us is because we backed the Israelis.
That's a major part of it, too.
There you go. And you know what? If we wouldn't back the Israelis, there wouldn't be an Israel. All right? It's that simple.
So we should let the entire world get involved in this conflict. Because of Israel and their conflict with the people over there.
Look, there's always been terrorists. They finally came to our shores. We have to do something about it. Like the guy said, we have to have the willows or the balls to do what needs to be done.
But why Iraq? I want you to explain me why Iraq.
We had to start somewhere. Okay, and that's where we start.
Well, let me ask you this. Who is more dangerous? Now, that was some statement right there. We had to start somewhere. Who's more dangerous, Iraq or North Korea?
At the time that it was, I would have definitely said Iraq.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. You don't know anything. You don't know anything about the situation at all, Carlos. So I'm going to have to cut you off on that one. Here we got a country. God. Why do I do this? Why do I talk to somebody like that? That guy has as much information as a three-year-old kid on this. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. He just proved it. We had to start somewhere. Hey, mark that down. Mark that down for future reference. We had to start somewhere. That is exactly what George Bush was thinking. If we're going to have world domination and we're going to have the crazies like Paul Wolfowitz and Cheney and Richard Pearl and the PNAC group having their way in this country, by God, we had to start somewhere. And I can't think of a better place to start than Iraq. We could kick their ass any day of the week, right? And we did when we went in and got the whole thing over with. It was then that the problem began when Mr. Bush and his group, God, they really did believe that the candy and flowers and all that thing was going to come true. They really did believe that the Iraqi people would love us. As I said earlier in the program, if we've done this wonderful thing for Iraq, and if they are so damn pleased about having their first election ever, has there been one big demonstration in Iraq of the people going, thank you, United States, thank you, George Bush, for coming into our country and saving us? Man, we're happy you did it. I guess all the video on that's been lost because I haven't seen it. I did see that staged performance, and it was staged, and we know that now because several people who were there have reported that it was a ruse. When they pulled down the Saddam statue with the American tank, and there was about a few dozen Americans standing around, not Americans, Iraqis standing around there and clapping and whatever, it was all staged. They went and rounded up a few Iraqis. Hey, come on over here and stand by this statue. We're going to pull it down. We're going to get you on film. That's exactly what happened right there. But there have been no demonstrations. I can't believe it. We got to start somewhere. Now, here we got Kim Jong-il over here says, yeah, hell yeah, I got nuclear weapons, and I'll use them, too. I got them. You don't have to wonder where they are. You don't have to hunt for them. I'm telling you right where they are. They're right here, and I'll push the button any old time I want to. I'll kick Japan's ass. I'll bomb them. I'll bomb South Korea with my nukes. And if I get a missile that'll deliver one to the United States, I'll give one over there, too. Look out, Los Angeles, says Kim Jong-il. And we had to start someplace. You know, that's what we're dealing with every day, and it drives me nuts. It drives me crazy that the American public, half of them, is so terribly ill-informed. Now, that fellow we just talked to, with all due respect, shouldn't get into a conversation with somebody over politics. You know, we had to get Iraq because of 9/11. How many times have we heard that? And he personally thinks that, well, they shipped those weapons out and, you know, they hid them over there someplace. I think they're in Liechtenstein. I've always believed they shipped those babies to Liechtenstein. I have. I'm sure that's where they're at. Those Liechtensteinians, or whatever they call them, they've got those babies over there, and they're storing them for when Saddam's people come back and are going to come and get... You know, that makes as much sense as, well, as me flying to the moon. Folks, we got a lot of work to do, and that last caller just proved it. That's why we're here. So, excuse me, but... We had to start somewhere. I thank you for listening to the program. I do hope you'll donate to the program and help us stay on there and help educate folks like that. www.theguyjamesshow.com. And we're ever so grateful to have you listening tonight. And we're going to be back with you again next week. And I'm looking forward to it. So you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merritt. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Production assistant, Liz Laura. Marketing director, Marlene Jones. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Greg Jarrett. His odyssey over. His crime spree coming to a conclusion tonight. Brian Nichols is behind bars.
Coach of Florida here. Long Island, you hear him? You hear that? That's it.
Fox's Geraldo Rivera, the 26-hour manhunt ends after a woman Nichols was apparently holding hostage in Georgia escapes and calls cops.
We're not sure whether he allowed her to leave or whether she was able to escape. We're not really sure exactly the mechanics of what happened in the apartment, but bottom line, she was somehow able to get out and make a call.
Gwinnett County Police Chief Charles Walters. Nichols accused of four murders and other crimes. Church rampage.
It was described as a scene of pandemonium.